You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, and odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics prepared for you. But sometimes we'll go off the beaten path, and I'm having a feeling this episode we might, because later on, Nena will be joining us for another crazy edition of whatever happens to come into our mind, in our minds, as we chat about all wacky things. We'll get to all that in just a moment. But, you know, before we have Nena come and everything, we got so much to get to, and it's simply because just two big things that happened over the past weekend, and it fits because one is in sports, one is in entertainment. We're going to pull the one from entertainment, which is the Avengers talk. I know everybody wants to know what we think of it. We're going to pull that aside. We're going to make that a side dish, which we'll get to in just a little bit. And then the other thing is the draft and some other sports news. So I can't wait to talk about it. Let's just jump right into
it.
It's
head
urgent.
First.
Head first. It's urgent news. We got to get to it and jump into the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports.
In your face.
Oh, yeah. Sports coming at you in your face here. But before we officially tackle the draft, let's do our two-minute drill and try and hit a topic as fast as we can. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right, 2 minutes or less. The clock is armed, and let's go. What do you
have?
All
right, this week in the two-minute drill, we have some NFL news, of course. And it's not every day we talk about NFL kickers here, but let's do it. Former Oakland Raiders star kicker Sebastian Janikowski is officially retiring from the NFL after 19 seasons at the age of 41. Janikowski has had an amazing career. It all started with him being drafted 17th overall by the Oakland Raiders in 2000. That's just a shocking move by any draft expert standards. He quickly proved his worth, though, by becoming the Raiders' all-time leading scorer with 1,799 points. One short of 1,800 with the Raiders. That's a shame.
Yeah, should have made it.
He eclipsed that number, you know, by playing with the Seahawks, but it's just a shame he didn't cross that threshold with the Raiders. Still, though, he currently ranks 10th all-time in total points and holds the NFL record for most field goals of 50 yards or longer, with 58 kicked from that distance. Rich, drafting a kicker in the first round is completely unheard of, but this is one of the rare cases where I think it may have been acceptable. I mean, look at how long his and illustrious his career was.
Yeah, he had a powerful leg, and he has all those records. Still, though, as a first-round draft pick, that's definitely reaching.
I mean, it's the Oakland Raiders, though.
Yeah.
They're a little bit funny.
Right. But you know what? He is a legendary kicker, so I think he'll be looked upon favorably when history's written.
Yeah, and also, interesting side tidbit about this move, this now makes Tom Brady the only player left from the 2000 draft.
That's right.
He's
Everybody else has retired.
Yeah,
so
that's just... He's never gonna. Never gonna retire.
Damn it!
He's gonna die on the football field.
Brady is going to play until he's 45 at this rate.
That's what he said originally. So
yeah, someone take him out. There you go. Our 2 minute drill there. All right, now let's officially launch into the draft. It was a crazy draft, to say the least. I watched almost every minute of it on Thursday and Friday, because especially Thursday was nuts.
That's round one, right?
Yeah. And also the atmosphere. I don't know if you guys were watching the actual presentation on ABC. It was more like New Year's Eve or something than like the NFL draft. I mean, props to Nashville for putting on a great venue for all the people that were there. But like, it really looked more like a Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve than it did, the NFL draft. But whatever. Let's get to the major storylines here.
Yes.
Number one overall pick, Kyler Murray. Cards take him. And then they're like, okay, I guess we got to trade Josh Rosen now.
Such a bizarre move.
Yeah.
We talked about it before the draft, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of talk about it in the weeks to come. But you take, first off, you trade up to take Josh Rosen 10th overall last year. And now you take another quarterback in the top 10, first overall, in the very next year. It's just so much draft stock going to quarterbacks. And yeah, they didn't even get that much value back for Josh Rosen.
Well,
because his value plummeted as soon as they draft Kyler Murray.
To be fair, for them already taking Kyler Murray and making it definite, and then obviously being like, oh, we're stuck with Josh Rosen now, I think they got what they could. I mean, I'm impressed they got a late second round pick for him.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't fall further. I would have waited till like the fourth round at this rate.
Oh yeah,
because you know the Cardinals were selling on
right.
him.
Right. If I were they eventually traded Rosen to the Dolphins. If I were the Dolphins, I'd say the highest we're giving you is a third. Take it or leave it.
Right.
Because most other teams are sort of set with their quarterbacks right now. It's kind of weird. Every team is sort of accounted for quarterbacks,
especially now after the draft.
Right. So I don't. The Cardinals are just, they're gonna spiral. Unless Kyler Murray is like this phenom, which he could be, very well could be. I don't know. It's always a risky thing taking a quarterback early.
Yep, and with Cliff Kingsbury and the supposed air raid offense, I don't know. It wasn't even that successful in college. I don't know what the high is. You know, with the Arizona Cardinals, they're really believing in this system. They think it's going to light the league on fire.
Well, people really like Kyler Murray, though. And if they can just not send him to the Lions, you know, if they just not the team. But
yeah,
you know
right.
I mean.
Yeah.
I had to clarify there. You know, if they give him the proper support and coaching and the talent around him to succeed. But again, I don't think the Cardinals can do it. I don't think they're in that position. They need so many other pieces around them.
Yeah.
It's just, it's one of those cases like we saw the Browns every year draft quarterback after quarterback after quarterback, and they didn't have the system around them, and they didn't have the coaches, and they didn't have the talent, and none of those players went anywhere. So you just worry about a player in this position. You know, it's not like a Carson Wentz coming into a team that had a lot of supporting cast already around him. He's coming into a team that has nothing. Larry Fitzgerald is on his way out.
Yeah, Fitzgerald.
You know?
Yeah, that's. Not, but they still have the running back Johnson.
Yeah, but he didn't really do much last year, did he?
Well, he got hurt last year.
Well, who's to say he's going to be the same back?
Well, he was still dominant when he played. So I think that's at least one piece of the puzzle.
We'll see. I hate to be such a negative person about the Kyler Murray pick. I just think the Cardinals put way too much stock into that position the past 2 years.
Well, obviously they took. What was the number 10 overall pick, and they traded it this year now for the number 63 overall pick. So you lost 53 pick. There's a 53 pick swing there that you lost, no matter how you cut it up.
Yeah, not good.
But if there's one team that's worse than the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
It's got to be another team that took another quarterback in the first round, and not the quarterback that you would think. No, the New York Giants defied all logic and took Daniel Jones from Duke at the sixth overall.
Duke.
Not really known for quarterbacks.
Duke.
Not really known for football.
Yeah. When you think of Duke, what do you think of?
I mean, basketball.
You think basketball, not football. There's a
reason why. Were they confused? Did they make a mistake?
I don't know. This is... This bothers
you know
me on
how
so
I,
many levels.
You know how I know this pick is bad and how I know that it's going to backfire horribly is immediately the GM Gettleman had to be like, oh, there were two teams that definitely wanted him before 17.
Who?
Right. Right. Here's the issue. When you make a pick and you immediately have to say, oh, no, I know for a fact that he was going to get taken before our second first-round pick. When you immediately have to defend the fact that you took this player publicly, that's a really bad sign.
Yes.
You shouldn't. The last time I could think that happened like that is Marcus Smith with the Eagles, where as soon as they took him, they're like, oh, no, he's going to be good. We swear. Whenever you have to say something like that, you're automatically admitting that you botched it.
Yeah.
Right?
So first off, the major issues with this is, first off, Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, and even Drew Locke were all rated ahead of Daniel Jones. All right?
Yeah.
So at best, he's the fourth best quarterback available.
Right.
Fourth best quarterback available, not fourth best player. Fourth best quarterback available.
Yeah.
And the Giants wasted their top pick to get him. When they also had pick number 17 later on in the draft, I guarantee you Daniel Jones would have still been available at pick 17.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The Giants threw away the chance of having a top-tier premier defensive player that they could have drafted with that number. What pick were they? Number six? Number
6 and 17.
They could have drafted Josh Allen. He was available at that point.
They could have taken anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody but this guy.
And
I mean, I'm reading on ESPN right now. He was the sixth, according to ESPN, the sixth ranked quarterback, the 59th ranked player overall. And they took him with the sixth pick in the draft.
Yeah.
That is a reach if I've ever seen one.
Yes.
And it's just pathetic. And you analyze the GM's argument that there were at least two teams that were looking at him.
Who?
One, I call BS, because Haskins was still on the board, and he was the second-ranked quarterback. So you're not looking at Jones before Haskins. And you look at the teams between the 6th and the 17th pick. You got the Jags, not happening. Lions, not happening. Bills, not happening. Steelers, not happening. Bengals, maybe.
Maybe. Bengals
might
have taken.
But Dalton still has gas in the tank.
Maybe they would have taken Dwayne Haskins.
Right. Packers, no. Dolphins, maybe. But again, that's a tough maybe. Falcons, no. Redskins liked Haskins. They ended up taking Haskins. And then the Panthers, no.
Yeah.
So who are the two teams?
Right.
You
it
have
doesn't make
maybe,
any sense.
And that's a really weak maybe for both the Bengals and the Dolphins.
Yeah. It does not make any sense. And boy, man, this was one of those calls when it got announced, I laughed my ass off.
Oh, my God.
Because they panned to New York Giants fans in attendance, and you could just see their whole football universe was just crumbling around them.
You know, if they weren't a division rival, I'd say I'd feel bad for them. But this is what you get when you have a GM making stupid decisions. You trade away your biggest playmaker, or one of your biggest playmakers, and then the heir apparent to Eli Manning is, you know, the sixth ranked at his position, when you have the second and third and fourth and fifth ranked at that position still on the board.
Yeah.
Maybe they know something that we don't know. Maybe they're going like super system specific and they need a particular person for a particular role in a particular system. But I don't know. I don't think they're that smart.
You know, last week we said we were worried that Dave Gettleman was going to wait with pick 17 to pick his quarterback. I thought the assumption was if you were going to pick a quarterback at pick number 6, it would be a top-tier quarterback, like
right.
A top-rated quarterback like Dwayne Haskins.
It had to have been Haskins.
But I think he took our advice way too literally. I think he was like, I like Daniel Jones. Oh, I should not wait for him at the other rounds because they say I should need to grab a quarterback when I can. Oh, so I'm going to pick Daniel Jones
well,
at number 6.
He did listen to us.
Yeah, because this
I remember us saying,
is not in the way I thought it was going to.
Right. That was sort of the theme of the draft is, well, every draft is
I
like
can't,
that.
And you know what's funny? People are using that as an argument that to defend anybody that's still a fan of the Giants. They're using that as an argument to defend Dave Gettleman, which is mind-blowing to me.
What?
That, ooh, if Daniel Jones really is the quarterback you believe in, the quarterback that you love, of course you have to take him right away. No.
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 That's not how this works. You don't get cute. You know what happens when you get cute? You get Andy Reid at the end of his tenure. You get Chip Kelly taking Marcus Smith. That's what happens when you get cute. You don't get cute with the NFL draft.
Yeah. You have to go by the numbers and where you're at in the draft.
I've seen more teams outthink themselves than anything else. You know? You just take the best player available, or you take, you know, the best player in the position that you need. Don't try and get funny and, you know, try and, oh, we're going to get a steal. You know, it never works out.
No,
it never works out.
So, but you know what? Our division rivals, they can keep doing that. So,
yeah,
Giants,
I don't got a problem with that.
Giants, they're probably going to be staying in the basement now for the next 3 years. So good luck with that, New York.
Woo. So that leads us to another team in our division, our very own Philadelphia Eagles. They had sort of a meager draft. They only had, what, 5 players that they took?
Yeah, well, 6 if you count that they
the
traded
trade. Yeah.
At the end, but however you want to phrase that.
But anyway, the big news.
Yeah, the big one is the Eagles draft Andre Dillard, a huge offensive tackle from Washington State, and this guy was rated either the first or the second top offensive lineman in this year's draft.
Yeah.
This was a great move.
I really like this draft.
And the Eagles had to trade up for him, too, because Houston was going to take him.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing, is that Houston really liked this guy. And the Eagles knew that first, they didn't expect him to fall to this range. They had him pegged as a top 10 pick.
Yep.
Because he's supposed to be one of, you know, the top 2 or 3 at the position. And when he started sliding, they knew they had to jump ahead of Houston to get him. The Eagles will always, you know, not be scared of taking quality talent along the lines. And they'll do what they need to do to get quality talent along the offensive and defensive lines. We've seen it so many times in the past. People are making a big deal because they're like, oh, will he be able to run block? Andre Dillard has incredible pass blocking skills. He only allowed 15 quarterback hurries on 722 pass blocking snaps. He has an efficiency grade of 98.9, whatever that means. But they're concerned, is he going to be able to run block? And to that I say, in a pass-happy league,
and that's a secondary worry.
And a team that has a running back by committee anyway, it's not really our focus, you know?
Yeah, it's more important to keep ones healthy.
Right, and I think we have great offensive line coaches in, what's his name, Jeff Stoutland. And he's going to be studying under Jason Peters. He's going to be working alongside Jason Kelsey. These guys are going to teach him up, you know. So I don't have much worry about that. I just like the raw physical ability, and I like all the positive things they're saying about him. Left tackle is a really tough position to draft and to find a good quality player. You have to protect the quarterback's blind side.
Yep.
You know,
very important.
Very, very important. And pass blocking at that position, I think, is a bit more important than run blocking. So I feel like based on what we do, he fits perfectly.
Yeah, I definitely like this pick. Then on Friday night, we entered round 2, where the Eagles had 2 picks in the second round. One at pick 53, which I was a little surprised, but you know what? I like it. The Eagles drafted Penn State running back Miles Sanders.
Yeah, it was definitely a surprising pick. I mean, everybody knows my opinions of taking running backs really early. I've said numerous times, don't take them early. They're a dime a dozen.
But, I mean, this is another one of those cases where he was probably pegged as another second or third best running back available in the entire draft. And he fell all the way to pick 53.
Yeah, I mean, so again, going by ESPN, they have him ranked as second in his position.
Yeah.
So to the fact that we got him to where he fell, it makes me think of like how we were able to steal LeSean McCoy back when we drafted him in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar range in the 50s. Is he going to end up being a LeSean McCoy? I don't know. Who knows? Running backs are so hard to peg in these drafts. What I do know is that he played with Saquon Barkley under the same coaches there at Penn State, and that given our system, you know, he's not expected to be LeSean McCoy. He's not
yet,
expected
no.
to be Saquon Barkley. He's expected to be the lead guy in a running back by committee. So
he's probably going to be splitting with Jordan Howard. It's probably going to be a combo between the two.
Yeah, and that's all we need from him.
Maybe you sprinkle a little Corey Clement in there.
Right, and that's all we need. And give him time to learn the game and come into his own. You know, he'll probably end up taking over for Jordan Howard. I don't know. The Eagles are going to try and re-sign him. They'll probably like the more team-friendly rookie deal than having to re-sign Jordan Howard. So I think decent pick. I think, you know, my opinions about running backs, but I'm not upset with it.
No. Then with their second pick in the second round, the Eagles decided to help out the wide receiving core and go with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. I hope I said that name right.
Sure. It's going to be a tough name for us to say.
You know what's funny? A lot of people are calling him J-Jaw.
J-Jaw? I like that. J-Jaw. Let's just call him J-Jaw. I like this pick. It's strange because we didn't need help on offense. And we said beforehand that we thought that they should go defensive line and safety at some point in these top three picks. And the Eagles were like, nope, we're going all offense with the top picks.
You know, but, you know, part of the problem is what talent is available.
Right.
Like, the running back, the Sanders pick doesn't happen if he you know, he just happened to fall that far. You have to go grab someone who's a top pick. When he fell that far.
Yeah.
It's worth it to draft it. It's worth the risk.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, according to ESPN's grades, we're taking all these guys are all apparently steals, you know, because J.J. or J-Jaw, he was, you know, ranked sixth at his position. He was pegged to be the 48th best player, and we got him at 57. So, you know, that's a pretty good deal right there, getting somebody that slid a few spots. But what I like about this is the 19 contested catches that led the draft class. And I know that's a really obscure stat, but I mean, think about the type of catches that you need to make in the NFL. That's the type of talent that will translate well to, you know, red zone receivers, is making those tough contested catches. He's got a big body, 6'2", 225, but he's still got some speed. I just think it's strange because it wasn't really a pressing need for us at wide receiver. But like you said, take the talent when it's available.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not a pressing need, but it helps, especially if you need to run, you know, try out a four wide receiver set or something.
Right. And the league is trending more towards offense.
Or if DeSean Jackson doesn't pan out, you know, that could still happen.
I mean,
you know,
or
any injuries.
Right.
It's good to have that
all
depth.
It takes is one wide receiver to get banged up in preseason, you know. But with the league trending towards offense and passing specifically, I guess you can't have too many wide receivers.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And then on Saturday, round four pick, defensive end Sharif Miller, also from Penn State. So it's good.
A lot of local people. I like that, though.
So that also could pan out well for the D-line there. And then round five, this was interesting. They picked up quarterback Clayton Thorson from Northwestern.
Yeah, this goes back to, I believe it was Jeffrey Lurie said that they wanted to get back to taking a quarterback every, you know, 2 or 3 years to just have that rotation of young talent coming up and potential backups. You know, it's a position where you want to make sure you're well stocked at.
Yep.
Just in case anything happens. I don't know anything about this Clayton Thorson. Never heard of him. He wasn't very highly ranked. But he was a 4-year starter. From what I understand, he also, you know, set college records for the most starts in the Big Ten. He's basically just going to be in competition for the third quarterback spot.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't like
new blood.
Yeah, exactly. It's not anybody that's going to challenge for the second spot or challenge Carson Wentz for the first spot. I don't know. He might be the next Tom Brady. Who knows? I highly, highly doubt it, but you know, you just have to view this as like a camp body.
Yep. And then finally the last pick was supposed to be a seventh rounder, but the Eagles decided to trade the pick to the Colts in exchange for defensive tackle Hassan Ridgeway. So, again, more help on the defensive line. So, I think it was a pretty good pick overall, a pretty good draft for the Eagles overall. My big concern, though, I think they probably should have targeted another linebacker or defensive end because they could have still used some help in the back part of the field.
Yeah, I feel specifically they are thin at linebacker after losing, can't even remember his name now, Jordan Hicks. Definitely thin at that position. Defensive line, we got a little bit of help. Tim Jernigan back on a 1-year deal.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That happened.
So, you know, we got Vinnie Curry back. So we got a little bit of help there. Who was the tackle that we just signed? I can't remember now. The other guy. Didn't we sign an interior lineman?
Malik in free agency?
Yeah, Malik Jackson.
Malik Jackson, yeah.
Yeah, so we have some help along the defensive line for the time being. We could use depth, though, and preparation for the future. We have nothing for the future. All these guys are, you know, heading into the back end of their career. So we should have brought in some new blood. The one area of concern that I really wanted them to address was the secondary, you know? After, what's his face? I can't remember anybody's
Ronald
name.
Ronald Darby and...
Well, I was going to say specifically...
Jalen Mills.
Well, I was going to say in the safety spots after... oh, my God, I can't remember the names. Rodney McLeod.
Malcolm Jenkins.
And Malcolm Jenkins, yeah. I just totally had a brain fart there.
happens.
We're kind of thin there at that position. We saw last year all the injuries really killed us. We have just this ridiculous amount of corners. They need to make a decision at some point who their starters are going forward because it's just totally crowded back there, and none of them are really standing out above the rest. They're all like serviceable, you know? So I know that sounds kind of counterintuitive to like bring in more players, but
you need someone that dominates and establishes themselves as the cornerback one.
Yeah. And I don't know if this group has one of those people, but drafting another one won't necessarily fix that. But anyway, so concerns more on the defensive side of the ball.
Yes. But overall, I think it was a pretty good draft.
I liked it.
You know, with the way the other teams are going in the division, I think the Eagles are actually looking in pretty good spot to win the division this year.
I'm not worried.
All right, so usually we would end the sports sampler and the first segment of the show there, but before Nena gets here, we want to delve into a quick side dish.
There you go.
Yes, and that is because
stick the side dish here, but we gotta put it here.
Yes, that is because this version of the side dish, we're gonna talk about Avengers Endgame. Oh yeah, it happened.
Oh, man.
3 hours of it.
Three amazing hours of one of the best Marvel movies ever.
So,
I'm just gonna say it right there off the bat.
What? So you're saying it's the best Marvel movie ever?
I don't know, maybe not ever, but it was damn near close to it, I think.
Okay.
Don't
interesting.
You think? Well, I think we're jumping ahead. I jumped ahead. That's how excited I am for this movie.
Okay.
Let's back up a little bit. Just have to appreciate the fact that this concludes one of the most ambitious movie series ever undertaken. 22 films, 11 years. This was a near impossible task.
Yes.
So we just have to appreciate everything that went into this. The idea that, you know, 11 years ago they set out to do this thing and they had a plan and they actually saw it all the way through to the end.
Yep.
They gave us a complete interconnected, interwoven, massive cinematic universe. You know, we've seen the DC one fail and try again. We've seen the Monster one fail and try again.
That didn't even get off the ground.
Other cinematic universes, like your beloved James Bond, doesn't really have the continuity that this does. It's never anything on this scope or scale has been attempted. And they did it. And Endgame literally broke every box office record with a $1.2 billion opening weekend. That is just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, usually movies make that type of money in their total theatrical run, and people get excited. This movie instantly, over the course of 3 days, jumped up into like the top 20 highest-grossing movies of all time. Just like that. With a snap of the fingers. Crazy.
Okay. So
no, I just wanted to put those numbers out there.
Are you actually you've been heaping praise?
Yes.
Is this the best Marvel movie ever? I'm getting this vibe that you're in love with this movie.
I am in love with this movie. And yeah, sure. Why not? It was the best, one of the best. At least top 3 Marvel movies so far.
Okay.
I think so. You disagree?
I disagree with top three. That sounds a little high.
You're going to put it at four?
No. I think there are some flaws with this movie. There are definitely some flaws with this movie.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into it.
Yes.
What did we like? What did we dislike?
Okay. First off, my biggest gripe is Captain Marvel didn't really do anything in this movie. When you really think about it, she was hyped for being like she's going to be the one that tilts the scales in the Avengers' favor and all this stuff. She's only there in the beginning, and then she goes away. I don't know. Something's wrong in the other parts of the universe or whatever. I don't know. And then she comes back at the end to destroy a ship. That's pretty much it. She doesn't really do anything else in this
movie. I just realized something. We should give a spoiler warning.
Oh, I mean, yeah, this was assuming. So, yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's do the official spoiler warning now, just in case.
Okay.
It's a spoiler! Ooh, it's a spoiler! Don't listen! Go away!
There you go, the official spoiler warning.
So, we didn't really ruin anything too much, but I wanted to get that out of the way before I delved further into those points. So, if you haven't seen Avengers Endgame yet, first off, what the hell are you doing? Secondly, skip ahead to the entertainment entree now because we're getting into spoiler territory. All right, that's your last warning. So the Captain Marvel thing, I'll say this about it. You have to keep in mind that, she explicitly said it. She said, there's a lot going on in the universe and the other planets didn't have a group like you guys. So she is more of the cosmic, like, she's running stuff on a cosmic level. The Avengers are very much Earth's mightiest heroes.
But you're dealing with Thanos, who has the capability to alter the universe.
But they dealt with Thanos.
And then she goes away. But then they don't deal with that's when they go into the 5-year period where they're trying to figure out how to reverse the damage.
Right. And
she just gives up then? That's I gotta go back to...
No, they showed a scene of her checking in and she...
With the short hair.
At least to
the
me.
Showtime has
just showtime, yeah. But at least,
to see the manager. She definitely had that haircut.
She definitely did have that haircut. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. But they made a point of showing the fact that she was checking in regularly, that she was doing stuff in the other part.
They explicitly said one point.
How many meetings do you want?
I don't know.
Is there a number of meetings that she needs to attend to get you're supposed to fill in the blanks of the white space. You know what I mean? You're supposed to say, okay, here's a meeting. They clearly have done this before because of the rapport. It's clear it's like a monthly or quarterly or yearly review, whatever it is. The point is, for all intents and purposes, they thought that Thanos is dead. The stones are destroyed. There's nothing left. They're checking in occasionally. Like, what more would you have her do? She saved Tony Stark.
I thought it was more comical. Like, it was just like she just, boop, I'm here, and now I gotta go, boop. Like, I don't know. I didn't really get the vibe that she was, like, checking in regularly. I thought it was just like...
I saw that scene, and to me, I saw...
Especially for somebody who was, like, teased as, like, going to be, like, a pivotal figure in this movie.
I do agree that I feel like they hyped it up to the point where everybody thought Captain Marvel was going to be, like, the answer, right? You know, she has the power of the Space Stone because she absorbed that energy. There's going to be some weird thing that she does.
You actually, by this logic, you don't even need to see Captain Marvel then. You really could just jump right from Infinity War right to Endgame. You don't even need
the
story. Which, I don't know, to me lessens Captain Marvel a little
bit. Well, I don't disagree with that. It is probably a movie that you didn't need to see to get Endgame. But I will say that it would have been weird had you gone into Endgame and be like, who the hell is this lady that's blowing up ships? You know? So
That could have been like a 5-minute, like...
By that logic, you also didn't need to see Black Panther, but Black Panther was amazing.
Yeah, that's another one, yeah. I feel like they didn't give...
All right, hold on.
Which is tough.
Hold on. Let me stop you right there, because that is the one thing that I think we've become overly critical of the Marvel Cinematic Universe for as of late. These movies were never intended to be sequels of each other. right? It's a shared universe. So they're all their own separate franchises that then come together. Their connections are more subtext and continuing threads of overarching themes, not necessarily direct sequels or prequels or like action reaction, action consequence. You get what I'm saying? Like, it was never intended to be that way. Like, Iron Man and Thor never, you know, back in the early days, they'd never built off of each other. It's only recently that we're getting closer to Endgame that people expected there to be, like, direct links between the movies. And I think that that probably half Marvel's fault for making us think that, but also half our fault for expecting it when really they're their own independent things. You get what I'm saying?
Sort of.
I just laid a lot out on the line.
You're right, yeah. So,
I get what you're saying, that Captain Marvel wasn't featured enough, that everybody led you to believe she was going to be featured more, and I agree. I feel like they could have done more with her. I didn't necessarily have a problem with it, but, right, the pre-Endgame hype, you're like, oh my God, how is she going to figure in? And the speculation started swirling,
and
it ended up being...
I'm gone, bye. I got to deal with other stuff.
I do think she played an important role. She saved Tony Stark. She ended up blowing up the ship. The two really big, important things that only she was capable of doing. So she did play a big role. But let's talk about that. Well, first off, did you have any other dislikes of the movie? Were there any other issues you had? Because you made it seem like you had a few.
So that was one of my biggest gripes. Another one is I actually really like the whole heist kind of aspect.
That was fun.
To the time.
Yeah.
Like
the time heist.
The time heist
concept.
I wish there was kind of more of that. You know?
Yeah.
It was almost like they felt like, oh wait, we're losing sight of Thanos again, you know? Like I know Thanos had to come back in some way.
Right.
To conclude the epic fight at the end of the movie.
Right.
But I wish they would have, I don't know, somehow done more of the, I don't know, the time heist thing was I think like the best part of the movie.
It was definitely an awesome concept, and I loved going back and seeing all those scenes from previous movies. Really big payoff.
It's funny though, that's actually Back to the Future too.
Yeah,
like they were making a point how, oh, don't think of movie of other movies logic.
Right.
This is our own time logic here. But what they were doing is actually a homage to Back to the Future 2, where they visit the first movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard not to. I mean, that's every time travel movie, though, right?
But no, in terms of it actually going back to
a
previous movie.
Yeah.
You know, just from a different angle.
Yeah. Am I just super nerdy, or did anybody else get like chills when they showed up in New York in 2012, the first Avengers battle? That was an awesome moment. I really loved all the payoff of going back to all those locations and like all the callbacks to the previous movies and seeing it from the different perspectives. But I agree. The time heist was great. That whole second act of the movie. I just in terms of acts, I thought it was really well done. The first act was all like the denouement, you know, the coming down from the initial conflict.
Right. It's almost like a post-apocalyptic movie, first hour.
And then the second act, you have your heist movie, and then the third act is that
epic battle.
Let's talk about the battle.
Okay.
I mean, that was clearly pulling out all the stops.
Yep.
Disney slid a blank check across the table to Marvel, and in the foreline, they had whatever it takes. And they were like, get it done.
Yep.
They brought back every character, every big moment, every little moment, callbacks to movies way, way in the past. Age of Ultron with, you know, Captain America picking up the hammer. Mjolnir.
Yeah, that's right.
That was fantastic. And Thor going, I knew it. Like, it's just all those moments. You just felt like Disney was taking every little string that they had hanging loose, and they just sort of put a little knot in it, you know, for all the longtime fans.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely fantastic. And I gotta tell you, I've seen the movie twice already, planning on seeing it a third time, and every single time that Cap is standing there facing off against Thanos and his entire army, and you just hear that radio crackle, and he's like, Cap, it's Sam on your left or whatever, you know, and then you see the first golden circle, I'm getting chills right now thinking about it. It's just, I don't know about your theater, but my theater erupted in applause and shouts of like, ah, just like everybody was so hype and so pumped. And being a part of a crowd like that was fantastic. It was so cool.
Yes. So
was your theater good like that? My theater was good.
Yeah, I think mine was a little more chilled back.
Boo.
Yeah.
I mean, people were like pumping their fists in the air and applauding. It was great.
Yeah. But, you know, you also went to the
I went to the premiere.
The actual premiere. So yeah. that happens. But no, that part was great when all the characters came out and tackled on Thanos' army and everything like that. Yeah. So another just little random question I have is.
Yeah.
There's now two ways to access time now, because now you had the time stone, which Thanos was obsessed with because it was part of his Infinity Gauntlet. But then you also have the Pym particle that can also...
Well, yeah, after they cracked time travel, which right. I thought was a little... here, I'm gonna is a little too convenient.
Right.
But...
Like, Thanos wouldn't be obsessed over another way to travel through time. Like, I think that's kind of like...
I don't think anybody thought it was possible. At least that's what I got from it. Look... Time travel is such a tricky thing.
Yeah.
If you look at it too long or too hard, it's going to fall apart.
Well, that's why there's that, like, scene, like, the disclaimer scene. Like, yeah. They're literally like, don't think about any rules
right.
from any other time traveling movie.
Right. You have to. No time travel plot. I still have never seen a time travel plot that stands up to scrutiny. Even the hallowed Back to the Future, you run into the grandfather paradox. You run into the multi-threading thing. You know, it's just you can't. The very nature of it. There were a lot of people are taking issue with like, oh, aren't there multiple universes now? And maybe that's phase four. Maybe that's phase five. Who knows?
Yeah, that would be another.
I don't concern myself too much with it.
That would be another gripe I have with this movie is now the soul now. Captain America is going to be Falcon now? Because at the end of the movie, he gives the shield to Falcon?
Well, Falcon's going to be Captain America, yeah.
Is he? Like, I didn't find him that interesting.
When I saw that, I was like, ooh, I get what you're going for. I don't care at all.
Yeah.
I felt like, why not Bucky? Mm. Why not literally anyone else?
Yeah.
Why not Rhodey? Why not Bucky? Why not anybody? Like, who's Falcon? He's just a dude.
You're right.
He's
a
just
dude
a dude
that flies.
Yeah, dude who flies. His suit isn't even as cool as like Iron Man's suit.
Yeah.
So I thought it was gonna be Bucky.
Right.
I honestly thought it was gonna be Bucky. Yeah, it fell a little flat for me. But I mean, we'll see. I don't know. Maybe they have grand aspirations for him. Are we gonna get a Falcon movie or I guess a Captain America 4? I don't know. But on the flip side of that. I do really love the fact that Disney did not pull their punches.
No.
They punched you right in the gut where it mattered most. We got to talk about the permanence of this movie, or the seeming impermanence of this movie. Cap comes back old.
Yep, he's done.
Retired like we predicted. Black Widow sacrificed herself for the Soul Stone.
Yep.
And then the biggest one, obviously... Tony Stark, Iron Man, sacrifices himself.
Yeah.
Do the final snap. I mean, that was poetic. It was perfect.
Yeah. It was... It completed his character arc.
Absolutely.
And I love the fact that this was like his goodbye song.
Absolutely.
This was really... Just from start to finish, between the fact that he has the family and, you know, he's trying to pass along what he knows to his daughter and... trying to, you know, do what he can to win the fight at the end, all the way to my favorite moment in this whole thing. My favorite moment in Endgame is just when Doctor Strange just raises the one finger.
Yeah.
Just, this is it. This is the one way you're going to win.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's what motivates him to win the finale at the end.
I'm getting chills just thinking about it, and I don't mind admitting.
And then with the funeral, going through all of the...
That was fantastic.
All of the remaining superheroes left. It's kind of like a tribute that, like, going back, if it wasn't for the first Iron Man, this whole Marvel Cinematic Universe wouldn't even existed.
Yeah, and I really, so again, the callbacks are just incredible. You know, I can't help but thinking back to Infinity War when Thanos is beaten up on Iron Man and he says, I hope they remember you. And right there in that moment, that funeral, I mean, that is so touching. The fact that he is remembered, like he had such an impact on all those people's lives. Did you pick up on the young boy from Iron Man 3? Who's now that lonely teen in the background? Did you notice that was him?
And when they do the pan?
That pan.
The pan shot?
The little kid from Iron Man 3 is now that teen that was like standing by himself in the background. So little moments like that, those little callbacks, those little, you know, coming full circle moments, that was always Tony Stark's destiny. Like going back to the first Avengers, Captain America gave him a big issue that, you know, he was selfish. He wasn't willing to sacrifice for the greater good. He was just hiding behind the mask. He wasn't a real hero. And then Tony Stark semi-sacrifices himself to save the Battle of New York. And that messed with his mind. And we saw that in 2 and 3 and Avengers 2, where he was obsessed with protecting people and trying to do better. And, you know, there was no other way that this could end than Tony Stark sacrificing himself, you know, to bring that whole conversation full circle, to show that he was actually selfless, that he was doing it for those he cared about and for the greater good. I mean, really perfectly poetic.
Yeah, and that part was great, too.
And I don't mind admitting, like, the second time that I watched the movie, knowing what was about to happen, I was, like, choking up the whole, you know, last, like, half hour of the movie. It was just so powerful, the whole thing, at least for me, a big nerd who's seen every single one of these 22 movies. You know, multiple times. But
We got to start to wrap this up. We could probably do the whole podcast if we wanted to talk about it.
I could talk about this for days and days.
But I guess you would rank this as a top three movie?
I mean, absolutely. Not just because, it was a fantastic movie, but also because of what it stands for. Like I just said, this is the shutting of the book of this chapter, saga, whatever it is. Disney saw it all the way through to completion. They didn't pull their punches. They gave it that note of finality. It felt really, really satisfying at the end. And if you stay to the end of the credits, you hear the hammering of Iron Man building his first suit. Like, there was just this really compelling, really powerful note that's like, yes, this is the closure. And now we get to see the next chapter. Like, all that you've watched has paid off. The Avengers, for all intents and purposes, are either retired, dead, or not coming back to fight, right?
Yeah.
So now we get to start a new era. And everything that you, all the time and money that you spent on those 22 movies, it has paid off. We've seen the complete arc of these characters. Black Widow had a family. She died for it. Tony Stark becomes the selfless hero that he was meant to be. Captain America goes back and gets that life that he was always talking about. Banner learns to balance the Hulk and the mind. Just so many poetic moments. The passing of the torch to Spider-Man. Just
Thor becomes the Big Lebowski.
Thor, even that, because if you remember back to the original Thor, he was this cocky, you know, god deity. He was never really cut out for leadership. And he sort of found his own little niche. I mean, it really, really, this movie is meant for the fans. And for everything that it stands for, it's definitely one of the best Marvel movies, I think.
Okay. So, there you go. I would say it's very good. It's very satisfying as a conclusion to the entire Infinity Stone saga. I don't know if it cracks the top three, but it's definitely...
It's definitely up there.
Definitely up there, and it was a good movie. I liked it.
Very succinctly put.
Yes. but for now, we got to wrap that up because Nena is about to arrive here, and we got a lot to chat about with her as we delve into the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Hi, I'm game show host Todd Newton from Whammy, Family Game Night, Hollywood Showdown, and more. And I don't know if you've heard about the 24-hour game show marathon. It's happening June 8th out of the great city of Philadelphia. And this is where four super fans come together to recreate 24 of their favorite game shows. It's really cool. But they're not just doing it to have a good time. They're doing it to raise some money for a great cause, Child's Play. Really helps out children and families that could use a little assistance. If you'd like to donate, please go to GameShowMarathon.com. GameShowMarathon.com, and it is there where you can watch all of the festivities again on June 8th from Philadelphia. We appreciate your support, and long live game shows, baby. Game Show Marathon.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. A very big helping in the first part of the show, going over sports and Avengers. But we hope you're still hungry because we got still more news to talk about. And in order to do that, we need some help. We need to bring back our special guest, Netta, here on the show.
Woo!
Woo! Yeah! There you go.
I made my own soup tonight.
Ooh, what'd you make?
Did you come with this prepared? You want to talk
yes,
about soup?
I was so excited to tell you. It was an apple sweet potato curry soup.
That sounds really good.
Yeah. I peeled some apples. I peeled some sweet potatoes. I put them in a pot and I boiled them. And then I pureed them. And then I ate them up.
Nice.
That sounds like the logical order of So wait, this was soup?
Soup.
Okay. It sounds like dessert, like, because you have apples. What was that again?
Sweet
apples?
Potatoes.
Sweet potatoes.
And onions.
Sweet potato.
There were onions. Okay. There was some cumin. There was some curry powder.
Was this like spicy or?
No, it just tasted like, have you ever had like a butternut squash bisque?
Yeah.
It kind of tasted like an apple squash bisque.
Okay. Apple squash.
Yeah.
Bisque.
It's really good. There was none of the flavors were intense, like, of those ingredients that it mostly tasted like apple.
Okay.
Which was nice, but it was like a bisque.
It was pure. And was that today or?
That was tonight, this evening.
Tonight, wow.
Yeah.
You're a busy woman.
Yeah.
You're cooking soups and coming on podcasts.
Yeah, and it's 70 degrees out and I was eating soup.
Yeah, we were just talking earlier that it's not really soup weather anymore.
No, it's not soup weather.
My dad literally said that he wanted soup. And we're like, it's not soup weather.
Yeah.
Well, you should have told me I would have brought some soup for him. Fresh from scratch.
Ooh.
Oh.
Next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to have to call us in advance and let us know what you're making.
No, I'm going to make more soups.
Except it's going to be hot, even hotter.
You're going to make all soups throughout summer?
No, not all. It's not like the summer of soups.
Yeah, right.
Summer of soup. I like that.
Instead of the summer of George, the summer
of
soup.
No, I just, so soup is filling. And now that I know how to make it, it's kind of easy.
Uh-huh.
You just need like a big pot and then you need like a blender.
Yeah. I mean, if you want
some
to be,
soups, you don't even need that though.
If you want it to be all, more of a liquid, that's all you got to do.
Yeah, if you want like a stew,
I like a good stew.
I'm not a big fan of stews, but my mom messed it up for me when I was younger. Like the stew she would make,
wasn't good.
Sorry, mom.
Okay, yeah, sorry, Nana's mom. The stews apparently weren't that great.
They weren't. But it worked out because I made some soup tonight.
Yeah, because now you make soup.
There you go.
And now I'm a soup expert.
So what other soups are you planning to do in the future?
We need your itinerary
now. Like, is there one particular soup you want to tackle?
What's the future coming?
No. Listen. One at a time.
Okay.
Slowly we'll take over the soup world.
Yeah.
One soup at a time.
Yeah. There's this app that I'm using called Noom, and this is not a paid advertisement, although they probably should pay me for this.
Probably.
But there's like recipes in it.
Okay.
Noom.
And it's like a weight loss, like overall health app. And there's like a Noom, like a recipe list. And I came across the soups, and they said soups like fill you up and are good for you. Soups are actually the most healthiest.
That sounds
from
right.
Dr. Nenna.
Dr. Nenna, soups are the most healthiest.
There you go. Put that down on the.
Oh no!
It's Sorry, man.
Are you all right?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me get you.
Rich Vamp.
Yeah, yes. Okay. So, yeah, Nina's joking over there. I'll try and help her with the... There you go. Actually, Mike's helping her. I'm not doing anything. I didn't even get up.
I told you the vamp.
I am vamping! This is the vamp.
Vamp harder.
You're all right over there? You good?
That's a first for the podcast.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
You want a towel?
I think so. Oh, I almost died.
Yeah.
I'm no one gave me die. The Heimlich. What the fuck is wrong with both of you?
I don't think you Heimlich for water, though.
Yeah. Is that...
I think you're just supposed to swallow.
No, guys. You're supposed to Heimlich.
Okay.
At all times.
Okay, that's Dr. Nana talking again. There you go.
That's the most healthiest. I'm never drinking water again.
But you need it for soup.
That's true. It was four cups of water in this soup.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
You know what?
I don't know how you survived.
It was the soup all along. That damn soup.
Dr. Nena's tips. Soup is the most healthiest.
Heimlich all the time.
I'm never going to drink water.
No, and you forgot Heimlich all the time.
Oh, Heimlich all the time. So three tips.
Should have a Dr. Nena special.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Instead
yes.
of party all the time, it's
inject
Heimlich
semen
all the time.
Into your back.
Oh, my God. That's right.
That's right. We had that on news story a couple weeks ago. So there you go. All the tips from Dr. Nena.
All right. Do something else so I don't have to talk for a minute.
Okay. That's fair. We'll help Nena out there, and we'll move into the first part of this. Oh, not first part. This is now the third part. We went a little bit out of order. That's why.
We're now in the entertainment entree.
There you go.
And now, the latest in movies.
Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the entertainment entree.
His music for a spot mic?
She just bleached her asshole, and I get bleach on my t-shirt. I'ma feel like an asshole.
All right, so this clip is going viral. Apparently, a mom found out her 11-year-old son's Spotify playlist.
Oh, no.
And it has all of these explicit rap songs, and the mom is freaking out.
I heard about bleaching.
And apparently, one of the songs explicitly is
bleaching
the mom
ass.
Is bleaching. Yeah, the asshole.
I thought he said bleeping.
No,
no,
it's bleaching.
I think it's bleaching.
It's bleaching. I don't know what rap song this is, but apparently there's a rap song where
that's a very odd subject for a rap song.
Yeah, how does that come up?
Usually it's money and drugs and all that stuff, but bleaching assholes.
Yeah, but that's the new thing.
Is that the new thing?
Yes. No, people bleach.
More Dr. Nena's tips over here. Yes.
People bleach their assholes.
Yes, but are they willing to like rap about it? Is there like a whole song about it? Is this the new rap music?
What is there left to rap about?
Bleaching
exactly.
assholes, apparently.
Yep. So you're saying they've rapped about everything. So now they've come to that.
Correct.
Wow.
Makes sense.
See, Mike gets it.
Yeah.
That's
what happens when you exhaust all the subjects.
Right. Bitches and hoes ain't doing it anymore.
No, right. We got to know about your asshole.
That's right, yeah.
Bleach
there
it.
There you go. Bleach it.
Bleach it.
And then here's the follow-up as the mom confronts the 11-year-old boy.
Oh, no.
What? This type of music. This is affecting your brain. It's freaking turning you into a psychotic person. Disgusting shit they're talking about. Fucking, sex, sucking. And you think that's fine and that's funny.
Yeah, so there you go. Mom going crazy. It's going viral right now. Has 4 million views on YouTube.
Wow.
I just I just didn't know rap music is going this far.
Yeah.
But
also, that's what 11-year-olds are listening to?
Right.
That's kind of,
That was going to be my second point, yeah.
When I was 11, I listened to Dookie for the first time.
That seems like, like kiddie stuff compared to...
Yeah.
No, but Longview is all about masturbation.
That's fine. I mean, you're about to enter a teenage.
Bleaching your asshole is actually technically less sexual than...
Really? I mean,
jerking off.
All right. So it's more... Of course, it's not as sexual.
Yeah.
But I would say it's more...
It's...
explicit.
I mean, it's just a new generation's way of... You know,
it's expressing
themselves.
You know, I guess that's true because I remember when I was young listening to like Eminem, Slim Shady.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess it's just this generation's version of that. And everybody's had that experience where a parent confronts them over their music choices and you get put in your place and you're like, oh God, no, please.
Yeah.
And then you just go back to listening to
it. My sister would turn up Korn and they'd be like, fuck you throughout the whole song.
But like, to me, I don't know, like, that's kind of, I would expect that out of a teenager, like, someone who's entering, like, you're going to be entering a rebellious phase, so, I think that gets more of a pass than my mom is bleaching her asshole or whatever the hell that song was.
But
that's not even, like, artistically, like, what is the message behind that? Like, there's nothing...
Why are you so angry about it, Rich?
Because it pisses me off. Like, this is not music.
I agree with you. That's terrible music, but yeah. I just think that...
Like, if you're going to rebel, at least listen to some good music.
I just think that the goalposts have moved. Like, as time progresses, we have to understand the fact that, you know, this is their version of Eminem and Dookie.
Yeah, but my version of Eminem was better.
I agree.
I'm 30. I'm allowed to complain
it's
now.
It's no Ghost, Rich.
You're right. It's not Ghost.
Listen to devil worship music over there.
Yes, and I like it. And I think it has more meaning than the asshole song or whatever.
The asshole song?
What song is this?
Look it up.
Yeah.
You
sound like that mom. Your panties are quite in a twist right now.
But that's going to be Rich in like...
Yeah, it is. This is
20 years. Yeah, he's going to be that old mom.
Yeah. What the hell is all this shit.
I'd get in there and be like, bleaching my asshole.
Well, that's how you get the kid to stop listening to
right.
Oh, if you go in there and you yell at
I would
the kid,
do-si-do my way in there.
Yeah, you go in there and you're like, you want to get your asshole bleached? Let's go. I'll set the appointment. That'll get him to stop.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, no, he might want to do it, though. Because if it's
an
11-year-old? If it's ass-eating season, 11-year-olds are sluts now.
They are.
Wait, what? 11-year-olds are sluts?
No, I mean, they start them young now.
Damn. That sounds... Damn, 11. I was just playing Mario Kart. I wasn't even thinking about anything
Please,
like
I didn't
that.
Know what a dick was until I was 20, but that doesn't mean that 11-year-olds aren't starting young.
They have more access to
Correct.
Things to teach them. I had to learn about it from the Children's Encyclopedia.
Wait, he's about to
he's
go
got
rowdy.
The song
Give
is,
us the lyrics.
Is Kanye West, Father Stretch My Hands.
Oh.
This is the song.
Don't you feel bad about yourself now because you love Kanye West.
No, I don't.
Rich loves Kanye.
You're obsessed with Kanye.
I mean, it goes Ghost, Rolling Stones, Kanye West.
That makes sense.
Do you have the lyrics?
Read them out.
If I fuck this model and she just bleached her asshole, I get bleach on my t-shirt?
See, it's not about his
Wait,
mom.
What?
I don't get it. What?
If I what are you doing with your t-shirt?
Yeah.
Because his t-shirt's in her asshole.
T-shirt is in the asshole?
Well, depending on the logistics of it all.
I feel like I'm an asshole. I was high when I met her. Okay.
See, this all makes sense to me.
This does not make any sense to me.
All right, well, we know who the old woman is in the group.
Yeah! Damn it. I don't get this shit.
All right, Grandma, go to bed.
Okay. Well... you know what? I will take a little bit of a break because now it's time for the segment where Mike lets you know what's coming up this weekend with TV and movies. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
If you're hot enough, I'll get to know you.
Yes, I just love playing that clip every now and then.
Now, how am I supposed to follow bleached assholes with this?
Yes, go ahead.
First up in television... We have Chernobyl!
Woo!
Woo! Which is premiering on HBO Monday, May 6th at 9 p.m. This five-part miniseries dramatizes the true story of the brave men and women who sacrificed themselves to help combat one of the worst man-made disasters in history. Critics are really enjoying the show. It has an 82 on Metacritic so far. They're calling the show intense and heartbreaking. And I know both of you guys are really looking forward to this.
Yeah, yep. I got addicted ever since I saw the trailer. I think it looks great. It looks like it's shot really well. I love Jared Harris, Mad Men alumni. And I like the history behind this incident that, you know, it was one of those situations that it could have been, you know, the end of the world in terms of nuclear radiation and everything. So this is kind of it checks off all the boxes of things that I'm interested in.
Here.
There you go. Nena concurs.
Yeah,
glowing reviews.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a well done series, and the reviews apparently are saying the same thing.
HBO usually does a pretty good job. So,
well, and it's smart to do it right after Game of Thrones is kind of ending to keep HBO cool.
That's true. Yeah, Game of Thrones is starting to wind down, so this is a perfect entry point for picking up a short miniseries. So there you go, Chernobyl on HBO, premiering Monday, May 6th at 9 p.m. Next up in theaters, what movie is going to take on Avengers Endgame this weekend? The new R-rated rom-com Long Shot, starring Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron, of course. A smart, powerful, and influential woman begins her run for the presidency when she unexpectedly reunites with someone she used to babysit, now a talented and free-spirited journalist. She hires him as her speechwriter, and even though they share nothing in common, they quickly develop feelings for each other, leading to a globe-trotting romance filled with unexpected and dangerous incidents. Surprisingly, the film has an 86% Rotten Tomatoes and a 71% on Metacritic.
When are we going to have an ugly, fat female get a super hot dude? That's what I want to know. Society. Huh.
That's a good question for society.
Let's call them up.
Call up
Dear
Hollywood.
Dear society.
I was just going to go for Hollywood because everyone's making the movie.
No, I was writing a letter to society.
Oh, okay, got it.
To whom it may concern.
Yes.
Dearest society, stop.
And they just blast it out everywhere
Heart
for everybody
stop.
To read. Yeah. So there you go. Long Shot in theaters this week. Go check it out. Also, go see Avengers again. Help that take down Avatar as the top rated or the highest grossing film of all time.
It's still Avatar?
It's still Avatar.
Aww.
It won't be after Endgame, I think.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to go out, do their part, see it 2, 3, 4 times, however many times you feel is necessary, but definitely at least 2. So there you go. And that wraps it up for This Week in Entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that segment, This Week in Entertainment. Let's get to some entertainment news, and this is something that this popped up on my feed, and I instantly texted Mike about this. Because Disney, even though they've acquired a huge catalog for Disney Plus, they are not stopping. Now, the recent news is that they are in direct talks with Comcast to buy their 30% stake in Hulu, which would pretty much give them a complete control over Hulu. And now, if you do that, now this is two high-powered, high-concentrated guns pointed at Netflix.
Yeah, doing now, I mean, this is still in the very early stages, but if Disney were to somehow pull this off, they would own 90% of Hulu, which is basically, you know, I'm sure they could strong-arm the last 10% out of whoever owns it.
Right. That wasn't going to stop them from getting the rest.
No. Once they set their eyes on something, as we saw with the 21st Century Fox deal, they're going to get it done.
Yep.
Actually, it's interesting that Disney's talking to Comcast because Comcast was trying to buy 21st Century Fox.
Yeah.
And Disney was like, nope, our stock is more valuable than yours. That's what it came down to. So what makes this really interesting is that this really does show that Disney is 110% committed to taking on Netflix and Amazon, and they're doing it in a big way. They're not doing it like a half step. Like, all these smaller companies are starting their own streaming services. You know, like CBS has All Access and Vudu, and Walmart's going to do original content on Vudu, and YouTube is sort of playing around, and Apple's playing around in it. Yeah. Disney's like, no, we're going to have two full-fledged streaming services ready to go by this fall, potentially.
Yeah, ready to knock out Netflix.
Yeah, they're coming with the big guns. They're not playing around.
But I like Netflix.
I do too.
Well, there's no reason they can't all coexist. Competition is good for these streaming
services.
No need
for a monopoly. No one likes a monopoly.
Well, I don't think it's a monopoly.
You know what? There's also another problem to all this is that it's not actually true competition between the streaming services because they take the shows usually. I mean, there are some exceptions, but they usually take the shows and they hoard them for themselves. Like, you can't watch a Netflix show on Hulu, and you can't watch a Hulu show on Netflix, or you can't, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
So it's not actually true direct competition. It's usually just who's acquiring the stuff that you want.
Well, it's not about acquiring. I mean, they're all producing their own original content. They can all happily coexist. Like, everybody at this table, do we all have Netflix and Hulu?
Yes.
I do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like...
Although, to be fair, I really don't... The only reason I got Hulu was because of Spotify. It came with Spotify.
You need to watch The Handmaid's Tale and get back to me.
I started it.
Isn't it good?
Oh, we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
I have an opinion.
Okay. I like opinions.
That's the basis of any podcast?
Yes. Well, no, it's just... I don't know. Is it too much? I'm at the beginning. Like, I'm in like maybe like 3 or 4 episodes. It's good, but like at first I was just like, what? Like... Nobody seems happy in this situation. Right. Like,
well,
not one person.
It's a dystopian world.
Right. Well, that's
dumb.
They're
not supposed to be happy.
Wait, yeah,
what do
I
you
would
mean
just
it's dumb?
No, I would just kill myself. Like, fuck all this. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get why more people aren't just like, forget this. Like, I'll get shot down and murdered or just kill myself.
That's part of the intrigue of it, is you see how these characters cope with it mentally with their world. Like, just keep watching. It's very interesting.
No, I'm still. Yeah. I'm like, you know, I have that,
but that kind
problem
of,
where I have to
continue. That's an interesting point, though, because, yeah, if the Hulu original shows isn't that good, then, yeah, I don't need Hulu.
But Hulu,
I would
argue
that their original shows are good,
right.
But
I watch
what you're
Hulu
saying.
For something. Like, I have Hulu and Netflix as, like, separate. Like, Netflix is, like, my serious watching, and Hulu's, like, I want to go watch hours of Shark Tank.
Yeah.
and Law and Order SVU. Like, Hulu's almost like a campier version of like a streaming service.
No, that's a great point, because they've always served two different types of content. Netflix is original content and old stuff. Hulu's more like current run TV.
Yep.
And if you want to binge watch something that's like currently on, Netflix doesn't really have current series. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm watching The Office for the third time on Netflix. But if you want to catch up on a show that's airing right now, Hulu is the way to go. But if Disney acquires the rest of Hulu, what we're going to see here is the perfect outlet for its adult-themed content. Because Disney Plus...
Yeah, this
Plus,
is something you've been saying.
They've been saying Disney Plus is strictly for family-friendly stuff. So what are they going to do with the Deadpools and the X-Men? Everything they just got from Fox. Hello, Hulu.
Well, and Hulu keeps things.
Yes.
Like, I've rarely lost something in the middle of watching it to, like, Hulu doesn't get rid of stuff, and Netflix has that whole, like, leaving at the end of this month. Like,
it's very true.
That actually bothers me more about Netflix, because Hulu, you know, can watch 10 seasons of something and not have to worry about rushing through it because it might leave.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't know that with
Hulu. It's just what I've noticed. I'm sure stuff has been taken off of it, but... There's been stuff that I watched a year ago and, it, you know, 2 years ago, and it's still on there.
Yeah, Hulu seems to keep their stuff a bit longer. But I mean, you know my opinion of this whole thing is I don't mind Disney doing this, you know, Sherman's March to the Sea type thing and just take out every streaming service.
It's just relentless, though.
It is relentless. But here's the thing. Disney, it's literally Disney World is the happiest place on earth. They have this ability to – hold on. Hear me out. They have this ability to take something.
It's the happiest place on earth.
And you're going to like it, or Disney's going to come down on
it. I hate Disney World.
Disney World is magical.
It's annoying.
I haven't been there in over 10 years, so I don't know how it is now. But.
Two British guys tried to have a threesome with me there once, so I've been scarred ever since.
Really?
Please do tell.
Well, I was there – in high school, and it was my senior week, because we didn't do fun, cool stuff for senior week.
And
we went
two British
Disney
dudes
World.
Are trying to pick up high schoolers.
Yeah, they tried to bang me in the bushes, the two of them.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't think so. And I was wearing, like, these horrible khaki pants. And, like, this really, I was a very ugly teenager. So I didn't get it. And I guess they just thought American girls were easy. And it's never been the same for me.
There you go. No Disney World.
That sounds
for
awful.
Nana.
No, that's not the only reason I hate it. I think it's just dumb. But
The point I was getting at is that that kind of doesn't work.
But I will take the blame for that. That was great.
Yeah, they were pissed because I said no. No means no, British men who think American girls are easy.
Yeah.
Good job standing up
I just Well, I didn't know how to do it back then. I was like, what? What's sex?
How do you do two of them?
Right? Like, I had no idea how that was going to go down.
Right. That's a lot of multitasking.
It's a lot of multitasking.
A lot.
Anyway, the point I was trying to get, there's no easy way to segue out of that. But the point I was trying to get is Disney is very good at multitasking. They are
what?
So Disney has the
Disney have three
taking
Disney
has Plus
the
and Hulu at once at the same time.
Disney's good at doing it with multiple places at once.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
There you go, Mike.
The point I was trying to get at is that Disney has. There's just no coming back now.
That's
Disney
what she said.
Has this ability to make to add this magical. Yes, I am doing my hand motions that thankfully nobody can see.
But it looks like you're holding boobies. Because now we're talking about
threesomes.
Are
you multitasking?
I am multitasking. You won't believe the tabs I have open.
Oh.
I don't know. That's a joke.
Well,
that's that noise under the table.
That was a bad joke.
That's what that thumping under the table is.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
She's got the Wacket machine over there, so it's all good.
It's ready to go. All four screens.
Are you ever inviting me back after
Maybe.
I am.
Absolutely. No, this is the kick in the rear the show needs every once in a while to keep us on our toes.
And to distract us from everything that you're trying to talk about.
Yes, but yes. That's all right. The point is Disney's really good at what they do. No, stop. Why does it do that?
What?
Stop.
What? Oh my God. What? Why? What's going on?
Alexa, stop.
Okay, Amazon.
Can you mute that or something?
Alexa just tried to have a threesome with
it. Don't say its name. No, that time it didn't hear you.
What?
Mute it.
Thank God my name's not Alexa.
Yeah. Alexa wanted to join in.
That was hilarious. I have no idea what I just accidentally ordered on Amazon.
Does that count as a...
You ordered Disney, tons of Disney threesomes.
Right.
Yeah, I just... I need something for the Wacket station.
Right. Mickey's going to show up at the door with your items.
Keep promoting that, because once I go on Shark Tank with all those products...
I better get a cut of it.
Maybe.
I have to get at least something.
We'll talk about it. You can be the demonstrator.
Okay.
Yes.
I can do that.
Here is our willing participant.
And now for a live demonstration. Oh, God, no. Shark Tank gets canceled.
I don't think ABC will allow
it. And we want $5
million. ABC, oddly enough, is owned by... Disney.
No shit. Who isn't owned by Disney?
I think it's just NBC and CBS at this point.
Okay.
There you go.
Everything else is owned by Disney.
Threesomes?
Disney,
what's the point that Disney, you were trying to make? I'm curious.
The point I was trying to make is that Disney has this ability to... God damn it. Stop laughing. Disney has this ability to...
Go on.
Make anything that they get involved with really, really... good, and I hate to use the term magical, but it's true. Look at what they did with Star Wars and with Marvel and with Pixar. They have this uncanny ability.
People would
just
disagree with you.
People would also be wrong. We've gone over this.
Okay. I'm just saying, though, that's not a universal blanket statement as you're putting out.
What's more universal than critical and commercial success? Both. Both, Rich.
People, I'm telling you, I'm not one of them.
Okay.
Because I like The Last Jedi. But there are some people, man, they do not like the Disney Star Wars movies.
Okay, so a movie grosses billions of dollars and gets critical rave reviews and somehow it's not good?
It's called a sellout, Mike.
I'm just saying. There's
And I'm just saying.
There is that chunk of
cold
of the fandom.
And I'm just saying, cold hard facts, black and white, numbers, good reviews, good box office.
Okay.
What else is there to judge about?
All right. Well, I'm just trying to push back on that.
All right.
That's fine.
You can push back.
That's not a full-blown blanket authoritative statement.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
That's how the show works.
Okay. Well, speaking of pushback.
You guys should
just have a sword fight and get it over with.
Why?
Is this what they do on Game of Thrones?
Yes, but with
their
penises.
Actually,
They have both
types of sword fights.
Yeah, that's weird.
No? You've never done that?
No.
What?
Never.
Sword fight?
What is wrong with you?
No.
All right.
God, no. Uh-uh.
That's no. No
prude
thank you.
Club over here.
Yeah, I guess.
I haven't been to Disney. I really wanted a threesome.
I mean, I wanted one too, but I was 16, so yeah, unfortunately.
No, that's illegal.
Yep. Whoops.
All right, so speaking of things that...
should be illegal.
Should be illegal.
Trailer talk time. Sonic the Hedgehog. Why in the hell is Sega doing this to us? Yes. Somebody's got to get the hell out of that segment.
Yes. Because the trailer came out for Sega, and it for Sega Sonic the Hedgehog, and it just looks absolutely stupid.
It's really bad.
Do you have...
Why Casino?
Because this is my favorite track in Sonic
Casino
the Hedgehog.
Casino Night.
I like it.
I would have gone with Green Hill Zone personally.
Yeah, everyone does that. I want to do something special.
Okay.
Yeah, so what did you want to talk about? Because this trailer looks absolutely horrible.
It's really
atrocious.
It's really, really bad.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is good. We have differing viewpoints on this. So I say it's bad because it's basically bastardizing everything that I know about Sonic from the 90s. Like, they took this cartoon character that's already a cartoon, it's already designed, and they made him weirdly humanoid, and like he just looks awkward,
right.
And he talks awkward, and the soundtrack to the trailer is Gangster's Paradise, which doesn't fit at all with the chirpy 8-bit cheery tunes,
yeah.
And it just all felt really awkward and out of place. It felt like it was ripped out of a different decade, like this was like an awkward early 2000s Edge Fest trailer. You know,
right.
So that's why I hate it a lot. So why do you what redeeming qualities do you see? I'll be interested to hear.
James Marsden or whatever his name is super hot.
Is that it?
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you
okay.
go.
All right.
Well, is that enough to see a movie?
No, I won't see it. Because I don't see movies anyway.
Well, there you go. So
it's like the new Ted.
The
but
new
it's Sonic
Ted.
Instead of
Ted.
Ted
was good, though.
Oh, totally.
First,
Ted was very
first
good.
First Ted was good.
But you don't know. You didn't give him a chance.
The new Sonic?
Yeah.
So you're saying I should at least give it a chance or wait until close to release to pass judgment?
Yeah, no, it's going to be awful. I mean, let's be honest. But, you know, they put in some A-list actors. Well, maybe like C-list at this point. I don't know if Jim
Sonic,
Carrey.
They're going to be, well, Jim Carrey, yeah.
He's not really A anymore.
No, he went crazy and then he disappeared and now he's back in the worst role
ever. And his
ever.
Girlfriend killed herself, so it was like a whole womp womp.
Yeah.
It was sad all around.
Sorry to bring the mood down.
Now he's full-blown like anti-Trump. Like every single one of his Twitter posts is like Trump sucks.
Oh, so he's like not even like normal anymore.
Yeah.
He's weird.
Yeah.
It's a shame. He's one of my favorite actors. Like especially when you look at his, you know, work in the 90s, like I just loved all those movies.
Yeah.
But recently, yeah, he hasn't done anything.
But you see, he's also a great example of everything that's wrong with this upcoming movie is it's just tone deaf. It's like they cobble together all these things that should be, no, I don't want to say should be good, but they're like, oh,
on
this,
paper,
this sounds good.
On paper, it sounds like it would work.
But then you see it in motion and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah. No, live action. I don't think a live action Sonic would ever work.
And here's the really interesting thing is that the reason I think it looks so bad is because there's another live-action movie coming out based on a cartoon. The Pokemon Detective Pikachu movie looks really good when you compare it to this.
Do they have a double dragon? They should do a double dragon.
No, they don't.
No.
That would be great.
You mean the like Battletoads and Double Dragons, those double dragons?
No, like the Nintendo.
Yeah, I only know them from the Battletoads crossover.
Okay.
I know them from, like, original Nintendo, because I'm 20 years older than you.
Yeah, take that. Nena's more of a nerd.
No, I'm just old.
Anyway.
I'm the youngest person here.
How old are you?
29.
That's not that much. That's,
yeah.
I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it and run with it.
That's fine.
Rich is a grandma. He hates the
right,
music.
I'm already
Rich
apparently
is
at 70.
Older than he, you know.
I'm apparently just zoomed right
now.
That's been the theme of like this year so far. Is this is Rich's like turning old year.
Apparently. Anyway. Maybe one of the things that happens is I don't get movies, I don't get music, and this is definitely one of them. I did not get this trailer. I don't know why this is happening.
Yeah, it's one of those thanks I hate it moments.
Yeah, just why did this get willed into existence?
This movie is
25 years too late.
It
should have came out
it
when
is 25 years
Sega
too late.
Was
yeah.
king of the world.
I think they're running out of stuff.
Oh, well, yeah, Hollywood
there's
definitely
so much
is.
Shit that they put out there. They're just running out of ideas. Because think of all the remakes.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's true. This is really bad, though, that they're digging this deep. Like, right. Sonic hasn't been relevant in decades.
They probably went through, like, the old filing cabinets and were like, let's go back to the old ideas.
Yeah, like, what are the ideas that were scrapped, you know, 15 years ago because they mm-hmm. were terrible?
Because
mm-hmm. they'll definitely sell now.
Yeah.
That's what I'm terrified of, is that it might do well. Like, there have been bad movies recently, like the Venom movie, that did really, really well at the box office. And the critics panned it, and I saw it, and it was terrible.
Yeah, I saw Venom 2 on
oh,
demand.
Did you eventually see it? Wasn't
yeah.
it bad? It was bad.
It was just very
it was tone deaf.
Disjointed.
It was exactly like this trailer. It had a bunch of elements that separately, somebody in a boardroom at one point said, that sounds great, but they didn't bother to look at the picture altogether.
Yeah. Also, I don't know. I still don't know why Eminem did the movie theme song to that. That was also just random, too.
Circling back to you not getting music. I don't get it either.
Yeah. I am lost. I don't get anything in this generation, apparently. The music, the movies. Help!
I'm losing touch, too, because this movie does not look good.
Yeah. But, I mean, well, you know, we'll see when it releases. When does it come out?
November.
Oh, okay.
We've got
it just
time.
Says out November. They don't even have a day yet.
Okay.
It'd be a Thanksgiving
hopefully it gets
movie.
Scrapped before then.
No, if they've made it this far, they're going to release it.
I mean, yeah, but it'll die quickly.
It'll die. Well, I don't know. We'll see. You could be eerily right. It could actually be successful.
They're probably going to put this out over Thanksgiving, like 2 weeks before Star Wars, and they're like, yoink, they're just going to pull the plug 2 weeks into its theatrical run.
Mm.
Mark my words.
All right. Well, there you go. That's our predictions for Sonic the Hedgehog. And that will wrap up the entertainment entree for right now. We need to take a break. I know I need some water. Nena doesn't need water.
No.
Right.
No.
No water for Nena.
She doesn't want to choke again.
It's all over my pants.
Okay. But we'll take a break. But don't leave because we still have one more segment, the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. And I've got some crazy stories that you need to hear, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunching.
I'm Nikolai Vulko. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. If that is order.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're right over there?
Yes, I'm alive.
Yay! All right, good. Nena survived. Mike, you're right over there?
I'm good. Never better.
Mike is infused with Disney powers.
Infused with Disney powers, yes. And also, I love the fact that we can now claim our podcast almost killed somebody with laughter.
Yes.
It's sorry. That funny.
Truth.
Sorry,
truth.
Nena. We didn't
Don't
mean
be
to.
Sorry. Sorry, I'm not sorry.
Yes. Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
There you go.
But there is one last portion of the Crispy Noodle Podcast for this week that we need to get to, and it revolves around odd news. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene, but maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this part. In fact, never play this again.
okay? What does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
All right, so...
So anyway, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and Nena and I react to the news. We have no idea what he's got in store for us. He keeps these stories hidden so that all of our reactions are our genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. Rich, what do you got for us?
Yes. Let's go to Utah on our first story here.
All right. That's where they have multiple wives, I think, which is always a fun time.
That's where they used to get gold.
That's also a fun time.
Yes.
Gold and multiple wives. Why doesn't everybody live in Utah?
I love Utah.
I had no idea.
No, I just made that up.
Oh, okay.
Well,
if you could choose one other state to live in, Utah? What would it be and why?
For real or just for fun?
For fun. Just for fun. What would be the state you would want to
probably
experience?
South Dakota, because what?
Wow, that was eerie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What is in South Dakota? I don't think
no one knows.
Right. So you want to live there to find out, like, what is?
Yeah, to explore.
Like, you move in and you just grab everybody in the town. You're like, what is this about?
What do you do?
But I do know that when it's like bad storms there, like bad snow. So maybe not.
Is South Dakota the one with Mount Rushmore? Is that North Dakota?
I thought that's South Dakota. North. No, it's North. North.
That's Montana.
What's Montana?
Whoa, hold on.
I think it's unknown.
I thought Rushmore was South Dakota.
I'm going to find out as soon as my computer finishes
loading. Like to live
it's South Dakota.
Mount Rushmore.
Ah. It's in the Black Hills in South Dakota.
Yes.
There you go.
Bam.
South Dakota.
I'd like to climb Lincoln's nose.
And just see what's going on up there.
You want to pull a Richie Rich and just climb the whole mountainside?
Yeah.
There you go. Go in and out of a nostril?
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
Rich, what about you? State. Not Pennsylvania.
That's not Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Any state.
For
Florida.
Fun.
It's
Washington.
Be Florida.
I don't know. Sure.
Because it's rainy and
dreary. It's rainy, grunge, ooh, Twin Peaks. I don't know.
That's a good point.
Yeah, my real answer is Seattle.
Okay.
Because I love the rain and the drear.
You know what's funny is that I would have picked somewhere in the Northwest too, but also Rhode Island, because it's very tiny.
It's neither a road nor an island.
Yes, that's right.
And you're always within 15 minutes of, like, literally everything in the state.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's
good point.
It's, like, such a bizarre concept. Like, no matter where you are in the state, you're always, like, 15 minutes from something else.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Isn't that wild?
Yes.
Yeah. So there you go.
Pitch doesn't think it's wild.
Yeah.
You know what, Rich? I had it up to here with you. Nobody can see where I've had it up to
here. It's high enough.
It's the podcast.
It's high enough. That's all you need to know.
Okay.
Rich, we're going to South Dakota. Wait, where are we going?
This one's
Utah.
Going to Utah.
Utah.
Right. Yeah. First story here, going to Utah. this is...
I got wildly off track.
It's your fault.
It is.
Usually it's mine.
Well, let's get back on track.
It's always fun when Rich is the one trying to keep us on track in the odd news.
I know.
That's not good.
Well, you said that I'm a bad influence on you.
Well,
this is
payback for what he was doing during the entertainment entree.
Yes.
Yeah,
and not let me get on with my Disney story.
Okay, well, let me get on with this story then.
I don't think I will.
All right.
Go ahead.
Well, I think you're going to want to because...
All right, I have to.
Here is...
I do want to hear the story.
Here's the story from Utah.
Yeah, I want to hear it too.
As she accused her boyfriend of cheating, a 24-year-old woman suddenly stripped off her clothes Saturday afternoon and began dancing and shouting in the parking lot of a busy shopping center, according to police.
Was she doing like a mating dance to try and win him back?
No, I think this is more just an angry dance.
So she's
calling out around the world. Are you ready for a brand new beat?
Summer's
here, and the time is right to be dancing in the street.
Okay, woo! There you go. I like that. That was a good random.
That was awesome. So she was just angry dancing in the streets.
Yes. Responding to a call about a female that was naked and fighting a male, a cop in Sandy, which is a city 18 miles south of Salt Lake City, encountered 24...
So wait, they have cities named Sandy and Salt Lake.
Yes.
Are all their towns themed after lakes?
just minerals and stuff, I guess.
Okay. I just wanted to know that.
The cops encountered 24-year-old Caitlin Adderley in the shopping center called The Commons at Southtown. The probable cause affidavit indicates that Adderley disrobed outside of a Verizon store. Adderley said that she took off her clothes because her boyfriend doesn't want her anymore, so someone else better use me instead.
Wow. You might be a shoe, my ultimate form!
Yeah, nice. So there you go.
Wow.
Someone else better scoop me up.
So, did they?
No.
She had people lining up.
Yeah. The boyfriend said that Adderley got undressed as soon as she accused him of cheating. A witness who lodged a complaint with police said that Adderley was naked in public, dancing, shouting, yelling at the male. And unfortunately, there were children present, and they all saw it. So, in addition for disorderly conduct, she also got faced with a charge of lewdness involving children.
Oh, no.
That's not good.
Yeah, so Adderley was booked into the county jail. So, unfortunately, you needed to pick a better spot than right out in public.
Lewdness in front of children, dancing in the street.
Out in Utah, dancing in the street.
Exactly.
Going to Sandy.
All right, Utah. Drop it.
Okay, fine. Wow. I shouldn't sing. Stop. Don't make me sing.
Poor Rich.
Aw, Rich.
Just wanted to sing his poor heart out.
Yeah, I can't sing. Let's do this story in Minnesota.
Ooh.
Yeah, you like Minnesota.
Very excited for Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm just, it's always Florida.
Yeah.
I'm ready for, right. like, going We're, around the country.
I try and do a variety. I don't always try and stick to Florida. Liar. But
early on,
Florida happens.
Early on in our stint, we used to have a lot of stories from Russia. And
yeah,
I missed
Russia
those stories
was big.
Because they were weird.
Yes.
Yeah, Russia
there
was
big. There was one lady
Russia
who got back. Her head stuck in a banister, right?
And it was because she was banging the dude, right?
Yeah.
They were doing it doggy style.
Now. Wasn't the Russian one the one who married the plane?
Maybe. I feel like that's something
Russian
would do. Yeah,
let's go back to foreign lands.
Well.
Now. Go find stuff now.
Right. It's just like, all I have is Minnesota. Yeah. Is that foreign enough?
Sorry, all these are U.S. states, but they're not all Florida. I'll tell you that. This one's Minnesota, and this is just weird that this happened back to back. I can't believe this is happening in Minnesota. You might want to watch out.
Oh.
A Minnesota motorist was cited after police spotted her watching an episode of Parks and Recreation on her phone while she was supposed to be paying attention to the road.
Oh, not nice.
No. On Monday, a police officer in Blaine, which is a city about 20 miles north of Minneapolis, spotted the distracted driver appearing to be enjoying Parks and Recreation instead of the road.
I love this show.
There you go. Well, I don't think you should love it
while
as much
driving.
As...
while driving.
Yeah, you shouldn't be doing it while driving. When the cop exited his squad car and approached the 32-year-old suspect, she confessed that, quote, I love to watch an episode of Parks and Recreation while behind the wheel on long drives. So she blatantly admitted it.
So, all right. So here's my question. Was she like holding the phone and actively watching it, or was it on in the background while
what
she was?
What does that even mean in the background?
Like you have the TV on in the background while you're doing other stuff, you know?
Well, no, she's obviously being distracted enough that a cop pulls her over.
I mean, but can the cop tell how distracted? Like, was she swerving?
Oh, my
like,
God, it doesn't matter. She had a screen on with things on
but
it.
But what I'm saying is, was the phone, like, mounted to, like, one of those mount things? And
even
it's just
if
on...
it was,
so,
no.
So how's
no,
it?
No, Mike.
How is it any different than, like, listening to music if you're just listening to it in the background?
No.
No, this is an honest question.
No.
It's distracting you. It's a visual.
So how is it any different than listening to music?
Because music
you don't
is just
watch music,
auditory.
You fool.
What if she's not watching it, though? What if she's just it's just on in the background?
But
you're
what
not
do you mean
attention.
In the background? It's probably in her vision.
No, I understand.
What, she throw it in the back seat?
No.
Just listen to it?
Haven't
no.
you ever seen those little
yes,
bent mounts?
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what if she just had the phone there and it's just playing?
Because she's being distracted.
And the
but
cop
how do you
fucking
know?
Saw it. The cop was like, why is that girl watching
TV? She's obviously
TV?
Also doing something really dangerous because the cop pulled her over. The cop doesn't pull you over unless you're doing something
no, stupid. No, I'm not fully behind Rich's point, but what I'm saying is there was a fucking TV screen on while she was driving and he saw it. Why would you not pull her over?
No, that's fair. I'm just saying it would probably be the same level of distraction as like...
No.
No, yeah. It's uh-uh. No.
Uh-uh. Am I the only one that thinks it's not that big a deal?
No, you can't have another no. screen distracting you.
What if... So what about GPS then?
Yeah, people wouldn't are still same- morons when it comes to GPSs.
Okay. Wow.
But GPSs need to get us somewhere. I have it on
Mike,
for a
if you,
specific
Mike, if you
reason.
Ever get in an accident, don't play this episode of the podcast.
No, listen. I don't watch anything on my phone while driving.
But
I'm just,
why, then why would the screen be anywhere near her vision if she just wanted to listen to it?
We don't really...
Because she's
we don't,
probably
we don't really,
viewing it.
But we really don't know, though. All we have
we know.
Is... No, we don't know.
Well, what if it was in the back seat, facing the back seat, the cop wouldn't have pulled her over. He would have been like, wow, no one's watching that episode of Parks and Rec that's
I'm
facing
watch
the back
it
seat.
Behind. Yeah.
It I'm was just, clearly in front of her in a place in which she could have been viewing it.
I'm just saying, a phone screen is small. It might be one of those things where it's like, you have it on in the background, you're just listening to it, you're not really watching, you're not paying attention to it. It's just... in the background to keep you distracted, like listening to an audio.
It's not in the background, though. It's literally in the foreground of her driving.
She's
probably.
Watching it instead of driving.
I'm just saying there is gray area within the text
of the
story.
And she used
the
term watch.
There is no gray area.
I think there is gray area because you're going based off of secondhand sources.
Did you read what does she say? Doesn't she say, I watch?
Yeah, I love to watch an episode of Parks and Recreation while behind the wheel on long drives.
What does watch mean, Mike? You're the definition guy.
Okay, well, I'll say this, is that sometimes people play fast and loose with their words, that they're not as exacting as people use hyperbole a lot. They love something. You don't really love it. You enjoy it quite a bit.
See,
you
now you're just stretching
something.
Just a weird...
No,
you're
I'm
stretching
I'm just,
it into a weird place.
No, I'm not. I'm just... I'm not.
She admitted that she loves to watch.
Yeah.
I'm just saying...
How are you trying to defend
whilst
her?
Whilst driving.
I just think that there's flexibility within the definition.
No, it's not what she was doing, though.
All right, yeah.
The cop pulled her over because he clearly saw a screen somewhere in her vision. If it was not in her vision, he would have been like, great, maybe there's a child or a dog in the backseat watching
it. I'm not saying it's not in her vision. I just don't know that she was fully paying attention to the screen like you guys are making it out to be.
But also, on top of it, you're not allowed to text and drive. There's some places you're not allowed to actually be on the phone while driving.
Right.
So no matter what, even if she was just listening to it,
right.
it's still something that's distracting
Which goes back to my original point. How is it any different than listening to music or using a GPS? It's the same concept. You're still distracted.
But your eyes aren't being distracted by a separate screen
again,
when you're listening
to music.
But again,
we don't know. You're not. Don't have eye tracking software. You don't know what she was. You don't know what she was looking at.
She was looking at Parks and Rec, as she said.
Yes.
I love to watch.
If there's another screen, you're going to be tempted to look over there.
What happened
about all the infotainment systems in cars nowadays?
What happened when he pulled her over? Did he say, like, hey, what
like,
are you doing? And she was like, oh, it's just watching.
I feel like there's a big double standard going on
hold
here.
On,
because people
hold
use
on.
Infotainment systems, yes.
No, let's
yes,
go to use, let's go to the article.
Yeah.
Let's go back
okay.
to the article.
So,
you can't, it's secondhand source. You can't.
All right, whatever. I don't know why Mike's trying to
why
I don't know why either. I don't know why either.
Very adamant
about
it.
But anyway, so she confessed.
I'm going to start watching Parks and Rec while I drive to work, all right?
Great.
That's what I'm going to do.
Do what you got
to
do.
I'm going to do what I got to do.
So.
Those geese will get you.
Yeah, he's going to get an accident with geese.
You know, maybe I'll be so distracted I'll run them over. And then I won't have a problem with geese anymore.
Yeah, that'll most likely be happening.
So.
Probably.
So we had this first instance. This woman claims that she loves to watch an episode of Parks and Recreation while driving. While behind the wheel on long drives. But then there's another incident in Minnesota because on Tuesday afternoon, a male motorist received a pair of citations after a Minnesota State Patrol officer pulled him over on I-94 because he was watching an episode of Law and Order on his phone. All right, so this is more direct. It actually says he actually had it on his phone.
Okay.
All right, so...
What a great thing to watch while driving, though. Let's just talk about that.
Yeah, if you're going to crash, you might as well watch Law & Order.
Did they say if it was SVU?
No, it just says Law & Order. Oh. Yeah, that could be any one of the series.
It's got to be SVU.
In another crime, he was not wearing a seatbelt at the time, so he actually gets two citations.
What a dick.
Yeah.
You should wear your seatbelt.
But I would like to say...
What?
Fight with the authority. There you go.
You should wear your seatbelt.
I would like to say, between the two, it makes way more sense that the Law and Order guy might be listening to Law and Order, because really you just need to listen to pay attention, whereas Parks and Rec is more of a visual show.
I mean,
I stand corrected. Case closed. Let's move on.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Well, in a new effort to combat this distracted driving.
You don't win.
I win.
You definitely don't win.
Me and Rich win.
There you go. Yeah.
No, no. You guys are wrong. There's a huge, look, if everybody's completely honest with themselves, there's a huge double standard here. And there's no difference between having something on your phone and just having it on in the background versus having loud blaring music. What about the cars that drive around
not
with
them? At all.
I think there is. I think there is.
Don't you take away my loud, blasty music.
If you're looking, how
can okay, can you hear sirens of ambulances approaching you
but
with your music
that
loud?
But how can you look
loud
at the road?
I'm serious here. I'm serious here. There's a huge double standard here.
Because I have eyes. I have eyes.
Yeah.
And there's mirrors. If I have a screen on and I'm not watching the road.
So never use an infotainment system. Never use GPS because those are all screens. I'm just saying there's a major...
I don't know what this info bullshit that you're talking about.
The touch screens they have in the cars nowadays that have all your information, everything there, your GPS, your address book, you can.
But the GPS
connect with your
also
phone.
Tells you where to go.
Yeah, the GPS, you're looking
auditory
at the road as you're driving it.
Right. So it's visual. Are you watching it 24/7?
No, but with a TV show, you're watching it directly.
You're watching
you
it.
You don't have to.
You're going
no, you
to.
Have, you don't have to.
You're going to.
You're telling me. You're telling me you've never had something on in the background when you're doing something else?
No, I always sit and watch. I never, I can't do that. No,
okay, well, so
because it's distracting.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I guess it comes down to individual preference and
but
ability.
But it's dangerous
then
to have another screen.
I agree, but it's no more or less dangerous, I think, than the other distractions that we already have while
driving. Right, but the other distractions while driving are conducive to driving and specific to driving. It's not like, oh, I need to watch this Parks and Rec episode to see how I can get down the street.
Is listening to this podcast conducive to driving? I don't know. That's
debatable.
I think
listening is a totally different thing.
Yeah, listening's totally different.
I'm pretty sure that it's still distracting.
Your eyes are more important in driving than your ears.
You can be deaf and drive a car. You can't be blind and drive a car.
I mean, if you can't hear horns honking or sirens or other things around you, that's one of your senses
being
cut off.
Yeah, but you still
off
are looking
actually,
in
no
mirrors.
Before
and
horns were a thing, you actually used your headlights.
Boom.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
Thank that's God for me working at a car dealership for me to know that.
That's not really
foam covered drop.
That's not really evidence one way or the other. I mean,
yeah, sight's more important.
Sight is more important when
but
it comes to driving.
But again, I don't disagree. I'm just
okay,
saying
well,
we don't know what
then
we don't.
Why are you putting up a fight
then
on this?
You agree with us. Thanks, Mike. Let's move on.
Yes, let's go to another.
Wow.
Story.
I want everybody to I want everybody to be totally honest and tweet if they think that there isn't a double
standard.
I'll tweet
that it's I'm totally honest that girl is fucking distracted by watching Parks and Rec.
I agree.
And
that, here's the thing.
Over.
I agree that she's distracted. Everything that happened in the story, I completely agree with. She should have been pulled over. I think she was distracted.
Right.
I just think that there's a double standard present here because I don't think it's any more or less distracting than other things.
But all those other things that people are using aside from music, which I don't think is a distraction, are
I think it can be. I think it can be
part of driving.
I think it can be though. It can be it can absolutely be a distraction. If you're too busy fiddling around trying to get the right song on, or it's so loud you're bumping the bass
that
the windows
are shaking.
Without a doubt, but that's just you fiddling and not looking. Like regardless, if you're not looking at the road.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there's a double standard.
You're supposed to set up a playlist.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not saying that she wasn't wrong. I think she was wrong.
You
I
are
just
on
think
her side, and you will now start watching Parks and Rec while
absolutely,
you drive.
Absolutely, 110%.
And that's ridiculous.
To start watching Parks and Rec.
Cause accidents. Cause
just don't
deaths
play this episode.
It's no different than watching a GPS. It isn't.
It's,
it isn't.
That's it is.
All
it
right,
is.
Let's. I don't know why we got super serious all of a sudden.
I don't know why either. Let's, don't bring up these stories ever
all right,
again.
God,
let's try.
It's your fault, Rich.
Apparently, it is. These stories. How about we do a dumb story? That'll lighten the mood. I think
it's about to get all stupid up in here.
Bumbling burglars were arrested after one of them apparently butt dialed 911 while fleeing the scene of a burglar heist at a Best Buy near Houston early Saturday morning. The men are alleged to have knocked off a Best Buy in Sugar Land, Texas at 3 in the morning. While responding to an alarm at the store, dispatch received a 911 call in the area. but instead of a caller, they only heard just random background noise. Authorities then pinged the cell phone, which was coming from a car that was traveling towards the suburban electronics store. According to the communications officer for the Houston Police Department, he said that one of the burglars somehow butt-dialed 911. The officers were then en route to the Best Buy to confront them.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
How do you even butt-dial on?
Do you have a problem with this one too, Mike?
No, I don't have a problem with it. I'm just confused as to how you butt-dial someone with... Do they have an old phone with actual buttons?
No, well, not 911 you can accidentally dial, I think. Because 911 is the one you can push.
Is there like a panic button? I'm
sure you can push, at least on iPhone, you can push the lock button five times quickly.
And that calls 911?
But it gives you an option to call... like different services, like it doesn't. Like you still need to interact with.
Also,
screen,
if his phone was unlocked and he wasn't wearing underwear, then maybe there was a chance that his skin got close enough through the pants.
Yeah, there you go.
You can touch a phone screen through
pants
cloth. Yeah,
you know that.
Yeah, do you have experience?
You usually touch your phone screen through your pants.
No, because it's
well,
weird.
Well, it's very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
It's not erotic. Why would it be erotic?
Why are you such a perv?
Yeah, what are you doing
tell
over
us
there?
The truth.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
What I was going to say is they have like special gloves that you can use while in cold weather.
Right.
That you can still wear. You guys suck.
No, you're right.
You guys both suck.
You're absolutely right.
Rich is over there secretly watching Mad Men while driving and he won't tell anybody.
Absolutely. I blare my music, and I will defend my right to do that.
I blast music.
It's a distraction.
But my eyes help me.
Stop going back to the story, Mike. We need to go to this one.
Forwards, not backwards.
Yes. Going back to this one, the suspects tried to escape on a chase that reached speed of 120 miles per hour. The suspects actually got to a point where they bailed out of their truck. Two of the three men were captured. The third remains on the loose. Authorities found stolen laptops and electronics that were valued at around $200,000,
wow.
Which I didn't realize you could steal that much from a Best Buy.
Nice.
Jeez.
Right? Isn't that a lot?
You have to steal a lot to get to that amount.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even if you're going for the big ticket items like the...
Let's say like a fridge or something.
They said laptops.
Yeah, the primary item was laptops. So I guess if you get...
That's a lot of laptops,
If you get a lot of the higher end ones, that's probably around... Like 2,000-3,000, maybe you get 10 of them. That's
still only
30,000.
No,
yeah,
that's a lot of laptops.
Yeah.
They also got a fridge.
Just random.
But how much is a fridge though? I mean, we're talking 200,000.
Maybe they had a few fridges.
They just come on, grab all the fridges.
Yes,
we can grab as many as you can.
We need to keep these laptops cool.
Yes, they're not going to work.
I don't like. Do Best Buys even stock that many laptops? Like, wouldn't that be a liability to have?
What if they took money out of the register? Do they still have registers?
Yeah.
Yeah, they still have them, but the primary items was laptops.
There may have been money.
Yeah, but primary.
There may have been other items.
The fridges were secondary.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's fridge.
There's definitely fridges. Thanks. You said a truck, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, there's room in the back for a
huge
fridge
truck.
Too.
Told you.
Yeah,
a huge truck. How big is a huge truck?
I don't know.
Like a Ford F-150.
Yeah, right. You could put
that's
a,
not
you could
that
put
big.
A lot.
It's like a big dick truck.
Big dick. It's the truck you need to have to let people know you have a big dick.
No, it's actually a truck that you need to make people think that you have a big dick, but
right.
Actually it's really teensy.
Yeah, it's compensating.
Mm-hmm.
All right, how about we get to our obligatory Florida story?
Now, who's this fucking guy?
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
We don't need the sound clips anymore.
Right.
Nana.
Right. Nana. You just want to introduce Florida here?
Now, who is this fucking guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
There you go. Wow. See? Perfect. You guys could be a good tag
team.
You
do the live...
If you didn't fight over the screens in the
you
car.
Were
you
were on my
going
side.
Back?
You were on my side.
I am. Anyway.
Enjoy it while you're there.
Okay. Yay! Okay.
You guys still suck.
All right.
Dick.
Let's get to this Florida story. A Florida man who was being investigated for causing a drunken disturbance yesterday at a public library.
Wow.
Was arrested after he gave cops a bogus social security number and a fake name. He claimed that he was the secret agent Jason Bourne.
Jesus Christ, that's Jason Bourne.
You're so pleased of yourself.
Yes, I love that clip.
Why?
I just love the intensity of it.
Jesus Christ, that's Jason Bourne.
So bad.
Jesus Christ.
Why don't we play it again then?
I will.
Don't tempt him.
Jesus Christ, that's Jason Bourne.
This is where all the listeners stop listening. We've lost subscribers today.
If he plays that Jason Bourne clip one more time, I'm unsubscribing. Which you did, Rich.
Darn it, just when we got on Spotify.
I know.
Ooh,
yeah, we're on Spotify now.
Yeah, we're getting
big
there.
Big dick.
Yeah, that's yeah. Right.
Swinging the big podcast dick.
We're not compensating with our Spotify-ness.
Yeah.
There you go, swinging just like that.
So
we can see your obscene gestures on an audio-only podcast.
Cops
it's like
say,
a pendulum.
Cops say that the Florida man was asked several times Tuesday afternoon to leave the library, but he refused. The Florida man, who was intoxicated and smelled of alcohol, was then asked to identify himself by a patrolman. Instead of providing his actual name, the Florida man claimed he was the secret agent Jason Bourne.
Jesus Christ, that's Jason Bourne.
That's one more subscriber lost.
There you go.
And we're losing them left and right now.
The Bourne identity, however, was fabricated.
Cops, what? I'm
kidding.
Yeah, I know, right? Surprise. Cops were able to identify the man as 45-year-old Jonathan Chapman.
Close.
And charged him with resisting an officer, which is a misdemeanor. Chapman is being held in the county jail in lieu of a $150 bond.
So is he reading in the library?
Why was he...
No, he was drunk in the library.
Right, I mean, understand that. But was he trying to read or...
Was he masturbating with books?
Was there a purpose... Was there a purpose to him being, with the book? Like, literally, like he sandwiches it in there and just, I mean, paper cuts, though.
That's what I pictured. I pictured.
You can't do that.
But what if you get that glossy, the glossy.
The fancy, the magazine paper.
So, with a magazine?
They have periodicals, right?
They do. The dictionaries, you know, that with, like, the glossy, like, the golden ends?
What? What books are you using to...
the old books. They were like the glossy, like the golden edges, like a dictionary or an encyclopedia.
But the paper's still, it's still paper.
No, I know. I just...
It just adds an element of fanciness to your to your depraved actions.
Makes it seem a little bit highbrow.
But no, the story needs
when you get
to
a paper cut, you're like, I'm cut with gold.
A little more entertaining. So that's what happened. He was jerking off with books.
Drunk.
With gold leaf paged books.
But what about if the spine wasn't connected to the pages anymore because it was
that
so
gap there? Yeah.
Oh, there you go. You get
the
that
glue gap.
Yes, that was, the glue gap.
That's the glue gap.
But it's like chapped glue. It's
you know when the thing like separates from the binder.
Just
you
like
know,
alcohol.
You've done this before.
Oh yeah. Every library I've ever been in.
It was before the Wacket Station.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
you know,
before
old
you could afford before the
I went,
station.
Before I went digital.
Before computers were around.
You gotta make do somehow. Yeah.
There you go. Before you can have the Wacket Station, you have to go to the library.
Yeah. It's true.
Use old newspapers.
Old newspapers. Sounds awful.
Listen,
that sounds awful.
No, I've never jerked off with books before, or even jerked off. So I don't know what it's like. I don't know what it's like to use papers.
Well, I don't think
you'll have to let me know.
Well,
yes, Mike, let us know.
Why me?
No, we need someone to. We need someone of the three of us to do this, and I don't have a penis,
and I don't go to libraries.
What?
See, he's out. Tapped out.
And I don't go to libraries. I don't go to libraries either.
Yeah, but you're smart, so you...
Thank you.
No one would question what
you
you're
go.
Doing in a
so
library.
So I go to libraries like, oh, that's fine. He's a smart fellow.
Yes,
my God, what's he doing?
And then you go to the back of the stacks.
Yeah, the back of the stacks.
No one will know.
That's a library
the
term. Yeah.
You go to the stairs and, yeah.
The stairs?
Yeah, isn't there stairs you walk up?
No,
what
shut up.
What are you
up.
Talking about?
I don't go to libraries.
See,
you
exactly.
Go to the stairs. Where is this...
Exactly why Mike has to be the one to do this.
Yes.
I don't like the fact that I was voluntold to go.
Voluntold?
Voluntold, yeah.
That's interesting.
See, that sounds like a smart person's word.
That's a term
we
use at
work.
Voluntold.
Voluntold.
Okay. There you go. Yeah.
So just report back and let us know. You have a month because I'll be back in a month.
There you go. Let us know.
I got to tell you, I'm not particularly looking forward to this.
Write this down. Make sure I remember it.
Okay.
There you go. We must have an update.
I don't like this task. I don't want to get arrested.
Listen, I don't know. I don't know what you want me to do. I can't do it. I would gladly do it had I had penis. But I do not.
That's a shame.
It is. It really is. All I've ever wanted was a penis.
Really?
You could have had two at Disney World.
I know.
Yeah, and you passed up on that opportunity. On that illegal opportunity.
Correct. Correct. And I've never been the same. And all I want is a golden
paper cut
covered dictionary to jerk off with.
Okay.
I can tell you now it's not going to be good.
All right, we'll talk about it. We'll figure it out.
Maybe I can repair the broken glue binding.
Oh my God.
You can cut that. Okay. All right, well, I got one more story. I got one more story that
I say
we need
the
to
dumbest
get to.
Shit on this show.
No, it took me so long to figure out what you
meant. Yes. I got one more story to get to. And
I hate myself so much for saying that.
I love you. No, it's the best thing I've ever heard.
I'm trying to help you out, and you just go back to it.
The best part is he was dead serious.
Well, you have to play it deadpan, because then it hits harder, you know?
Good thing I wasn't drinking water.
Yeah, because you definitely would have died there.
I would have been dead.
Please don't die.
I never would have got to see or hear about you jerking off in books.
Yeah, you don't want to miss that. Just digging the hole. Doo-doo-doo. What's the next story, Rich?
Okay.
There's still more of these. I feel like we've been doing this all night.
It'd be like a 3-hour podcast.
Well, we had a random 25-minute discussion.
I know. You got real testy. You got real testy.
So let me just do one more story and then
we'll
wrap it up.
She was wrong. I just think there's a double standard.
Well, let's go to this last story. Going to Ohio. An Ohio man is charged with stealing more than $166,000 from his incapacitated mother, and they caught him because he used the funds to pay for various sexual gratifications, according to police.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Now we're talking.
Various sexual gratifications. What does that entail? Is there a list?
Oh, yeah.
Shopping list that he had?
Yes. We're going to get into it.
Yes.
59-year-old Sean Joseph was indicted Thursday for fleecing his 91-year-old mother, who was suffering from severe dementia.
Oh.
What's fleecing?
Like stealing.
Stealing money. Using a scheme to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. There you go. You learned something.
Learn something new every day.
There you go. Joseph is accused of paying for his sexual purchases with his mother's credit cards and bank accounts, which he kept open. As detailed in the municipal court filings, a search of Joseph's Dayton residence and Amazon.com account yielded evidence, which is now public because this is a municipal court filing.
Oh.
So, are you ready to hear what he spent $166,000 of his mom's money on?
Refrigerators.
No.
Definitely.
Damn it.
At least two.
So, first, he spent a significant amount of money on online cam girls. Joseph told cops that he used his mom's credit card to buy tokens, which he then used to watch females do sexual acts to themselves while he watched.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
So, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. But that's pretty standard.
Pitch would know.
Yeah, that's fine. That's
usually what he spends on his girls, cam girls.
Yeah, I mean, that's
at least like
tokens,
10% of his income.
There you go. It's fine. It's your tea. It's your tithe. There you go.
It's your what?
It's
your tithe?
Sexual tithe. Yeah, I'll just make sure it goes to the cam girls. There you go. 10%.
There you go. Yeah. You got it.
All right, but here's where things get creepy. He also bought 5 silicone sex dolls with multiple and interchangeable heads and wigs.
Yeah.
So I guess he could always bang a new girl every day.
Yeah.
But if they have... Time out. He's not spending his money. He's not budgeting properly.
Yeah, because please go into
this.
One
doll, multiple heads.
Yes. See, Nana understands.
I know my sex dolls.
See? Thank you. Multiple heads, multiple wigs. You don't need multiple dolls.
Well, you needed five different ones.
What
I guess.
If you wanted different sized titties and stuff?
Right, you need different.
Maybe.
Right,
and different.
They
asses.
Should make
yes.
one with interchangeable, like
butts?
All, like they're all modular.
They should have one with a bleached asshole.
Definitely.
Yes, obviously. There you go. Obviously we're rapping
for,
about
for
it.
For the young kids, obviously.
Right? That's
because that's what they're
model.
Into.
They're into that.
he also spent money on various sex toys, including a collection of butt plugs.
For hey, the bleached assholes.
You yeah. need a collection.
Right.
Always.
Right. You know, it's got
to
be.
To show it off when the sex dolls show up.
Right. Tip top tape.
Showing off for the sex dolls.
Here's my collection. But he has it in like a briefcase.
He just opens them and like, ooh, look.
Yeah, like you know when you show off things like that?
In a briefcase?
Yeah, well like a closed case. Like look at my fancy spoons, you know? Like the rich rich people do.
Do rich people do that? Do
yes.
they have a
yes.
briefcase of fancy
have
spoons
it,
and
it
butt
might
plugs?
It might not be a briefcase. It's like more
is
of
it the
like,
same,
like a golden chest.
Is it the same chest? The spoons and the butt plugs? Or are they different chests?
Well, you, but
are
you
they
don't
the
know
same
that
size?
You're looking at the butt plugs.
You what?
You don't know that you're looking at the butt plugs.
What,
so, like you think they're wine stoppers.
Oh, it's like, oh, this is a vast collection of wine stoppers. And you go, yes. Wine stoppers.
Exactly.
That's why they're all discolored. That's gross.
Oh, no.
You gotta clean them.
Of course you do.
Or do you because it's bleached? I don't know.
Well, they're not all bleached.
No.
Depends,
did this guy
depends
spend,
on what you want to do.
Did this guy spend any money on bleaching?
It doesn't say. Here's something else, though. He also spent a significant amount of money on computers and electronic equipment.
Okay.
And fridges.
No, yes. No. We're talking about like the devices that like jerk you off.
Oh,
like the shake weight.
The inverse of a shake weight, I guess. Whatever the opposite of a shake weight would be.
Yeah,
no, it's just a shake weight with a hole.
It's that thing that just goes up and down.
Right, but yeah, but there's a name for it. I forget what it is, but we're talking about things like
station.
That. Yeah, and a whacket station.
And a whacket station.
And then finally, he spent a significant amount of money on more than 150 pieces of women's lingerie, including thongs, G-strings, bras, and sleepwear.
Used or new?
Both.
Ah.
Nice. Okay.
just to give you a baseline.
Jeez, it all
here.
Seems very excessive.
Yeah, well,
does he need all of this?
He spent $166,000.
That's a lot.
Yeah, did he give any reasons behind the need for excess?
He just
I mean,
needed to whack off.
It's an obsession. It's an addiction for him, I guess. Just couldn't stop buying them.
During police questioning, Joseph told investigators he kept using his mom's credit cards, even though his mom had been non-communicative for more than 2 years. So this has been gathering for 2 years.
All right,
that's
so he
really
had some time.
Sad.
Yeah.
He had some time.
That's sad.
They were able
well,
to
really it's his mom's fault. She raised a sick fuck.
I guess you got a point there.
There you go. The mother's bank accounts have been frozen. So there you go. He's going to face some charges.
Yeah, but what good is that? She's now $160,000 in debt for sex toys.
But she's not aware of it. So that's good.
Wait, she's not even aware of it?
She has dementia.
She's dementia.
Oh, well, the guys.
What?
Who fucking cares then?
Wow.
No, she's fine. She's fine.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's got bigger fish to fry. Okay.
That was callous.
No, listen. No. I've been aware of dementia before. I've been in parts of dementia. Like, I've been involved with dementia. Not in like a... That sounds weird. But no, it's she doesn't even know. She has no idea.
Yeah. But doesn't that make it bad?
Well, then maybe he'll get what's coming to him and he'll get dementia when he's older.
That's how it works.
Well, in prison, his experience with butt plugs will come in handy. He'll, you know.
Wow.
He'll be fine. He'll be that fine was... that way.
That was...
And isn't she like in a home or something? She's probably in a home.
Yeah, she's fine.
She's fine.
Now she doesn't have money for the home.
Someone will take
care of her.
Because
he took it all for sex toys.
Someone will take care of her.
Yeah, someone will. That's what Social Security's for, right?
I don't think they have $166,000 worth
mean,
of
listen,
Social Security.
I mean, listen, the poor
her.
Woman. But like I said, she's got bigger problems.
Yeah. I guess. I just feel bad.
Money isn't everything, Mike.
The more you know.
Let's get into a fiery argument about it.
I mean,
it
money
now.
Is important because she's in a nursing home. She needs that money to pay for
You don't
for
know.
The...
You don't know. Oh my you God. Don't know what she's doing right now.
You're right.
You don't
she's
know how well
it.
You don't know how well kept she
yeah,
is.
How do you know she's not faking it?
No, that's not what I'm saying. Okay. I'm saying you don't know. Maybe she had a rich husband and maybe
she
he
may
only
have.
Stole like a piece of it.
I mean, you're right. That is a possibility.
Well, they used credit cards. I don't think
if she had money, he probably wouldn't be using credit cards.
Right.
Maybe it's in a safe somewhere, and she forgets the combination too soon.
That's. Well, if only I had the money to pay for this.
See, now you're no,
that's
no,
bad.
Now you're making fun of dementia.
You started it.
It's all right. We're all rotting in hell anyway.
Yeah, we're already on a fast track there.
One way ticket.
But we're also on a fast track ticket to wrap up the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. That's all the stories I have
for you.
4 hours
later.
Oh, my God.
So let's wrap it up and go over all that we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I forgot everything.
All right, there you go.
Is that a dementia joke?
It didn't start that way.
That's not funny. Now who's callous?
You know, I learned that you guys suck. I don't like this teaming up on me. Bullshit. I want to go back to the other way it was. Next month.
After you've jerked off in books.
Yes, and I come back to report.
That'll get you back in my good graces.
There we go. This is awful. The things I have to do for this show. Okay. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, I guess.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
All right, and on that note, we have to officially start to wrap up the craziness. The podcast has gone on a little bit long, so we gotta...
Sorry.
It's fine. It was an interesting debate, ironically, about driving, distracted driving, and dementia. There you go.
We talk about all sorts of topics here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yes.
It's a one-stop shop.
That's right. And we wouldn't have gotten to those ridiculous points if it wasn't for Nena. So thank you for coming on the show, Nena.
Thanks.
Yeah!
Subscribers, you can come back next week because I won't be here.
Oh, no. It was very enlightening to go over weird topics that I don't think we'd ever gone over. So.
And we almost had a death on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm glad you're still alive, too.
I'm glad I could almost die for your benefit.
Yeah, please don't die.
Do it for the laughs.
Yes, we want to have you on future episodes. Please don't die.
Always. I'll do my best.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, I will die.
Whoa!
I mean, one day, eventually,
right, exactly.
I guess.
My point. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Nena, thank you for coming on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. And for all you guys, thank you guys for listening. If you made it to the end of the show, thank you for riding this weird roller coaster that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you like what you heard, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. Follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle, and on Instagram, at The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. Make sure to subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and now Spotify.
Yes, woo! That's our big announcement.
That's right. You get new episodes downloaded for free every Thursday, so make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on a variety of podcast services.
That's right. So just choose your platform and
pick
listen
your poison.
Away. Yeah, we got all those spots that you can find us. So yeah, choose your favorite one and find us on those. But for now, we're gonna wrap this one up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. All right, we learned a lot, but it's time to wrap this one up.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, it is I, your good friend and former President Barack Obama. It's been a while. I'm joined by the leader of the ghost clergy, Cardinal Copia.
How you doing, United States of America?
I'm well, but now you may be asking yourself,
why are we here?
Well, it's 2019 and nothing makes sense anymore. But anyway, in my retirement and during his infernal time away from the clergy, we've both been listening to a few podcasts.
Ones that will make the asses wobble.
Yes, those are good ones, but we also need ones that bring us hope and change. One in particular with sports, entertainment, and odd news.
You give them a listen and a clappity-clap, yes?
Yes, a round of applause for our favorite podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2019!